Film Vault. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Film Vault. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Anderson over there. Brian Bishop over here. We hosts for today. Top five tats. Top five tattoos. Tattooed characters. Is it tattooed characters or tattoos?
No, what? What? Tattoos.
Okay, that's what I thought. Easy, buddy.
Hey, that changes everything. Easy, if we do buddy. Tattooed characters.
That's true. It does make a big difference.
You'd be like, this guy's awesome. He has a tiny little ankle tattoo, but...
but he happens to be fantastic.
And he's tattooed. Yeah. Yes.
Tattoos.
We're going with tattoos. And, you know, some of mine, at least looking at my list, maybe a couple are like, it's a conglomeration of tattoos. It's a bunch of tattoos. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe like a moment in the movie that makes it great.
I'm
and the tattoo is a central focus point of that scene. So, yeah, you know what? This was a fun list because there was a lot out there.
Yeah.
A lot of tattoos. However, not a lot of information on the actual tattoos. There needs to be a better...
You got
to
dig. Remember I told you about the internet? We did top five... The internet. We did top five weapons caches or something like that, and then I found the internet movie firearm database, and it like listed all the detailed accounts of what these weapons
were. That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's what I need for tattoos.
We need that for tattoos.
Yeah,
I found a couple lists, actually, with... like various meanings of those tattoos, but they were like shitty lists. I did not like the actual picks
unofficial
that they had on
there. Oh, I see.
Like Blades tribal tattoos. No, fuck you. How about that? But actually, there are a couple movies that I was not that familiar with that I wrote down that I will be visiting because I've discovered them through my research. So
very close to putting a movie I have not seen on my list, which you do not like when I do.
No, that's not appropriate at all. And I also left a very obvious one off the list, which I assume you will bring up the rear for.
Oh, I don't think I will, because I left a very obvious one off the list, too.
Come on, dude. You got to have that on there.
I assume it'll be the listener's number one. Hey.
Permanent post-it notes on the body.
That's right. How much crossover?
One.
Yeah, I'd say one, too.
Yeah.
I'll set the over at 1.5.
I got to tell you, too, I can't really come up with a clear cut like 1 through 5. I'm kind of all over the map.
I have a clear cut number one, and the rest are sort of interchangeable.
Remember when Petros Papadakis was on the show years ago?
Yes.
And he was kind of just picking and choosing as he went,
Sports films.
Writing it down. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So and he inscribed one on his arm.
So,
to remind himself.
Why don't we do a little flick
fashion? Women? Any females? Any females?
No, no ladies.
Really?
Yeah. There was this one chick with a dragon tattoo on her.
It's true.
But I decided not to do that because I didn't fall in love with that entire trilogy. I don't know about you.
I could kind of care less.
I like Swastika Kitty. I thought that was pretty horrible and funny and memorable. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I saw the original. And I saw the remake. And neither one really knocked my balls off.
I was going to say, was the original that much different? I didn't see the original. I don't like to read films.
It was enough different, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was enough different.
Hey, I read a film this week.
What?
I read a film this week.
Oh, you watched a foreign film?
I did.
Why don't you tell me about it?
Can I flick fast in a segment we call Flick Fashions?
Let's do it.
The rapidly dwindling Flick Fashions includes a foreign film.
What?
Cartel Land.
Wait, rapidly what?
Dwindling.
How is that so?
It's getting smaller and smaller every week.
No, it's not. We're doing 2 movies each.
Cartel Land.
And I'm hopping on with you because I've seen everything.
Cartel Land.
Yeah, Flick Fest is like 2 weeks ago.
Well, I'm here to
on
talk
this
about it for the official Flick Fashion.
Jesus Christ.
The definitive word in Cartel Land.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Matthew Heineman, starring. It's a documentary about
Is it a documentary?
What do you mean?
Or is it a mockumentary?
What do you mean?
I don't know if I believe it.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I enjoyed it very much, too. It
goes down smooth, easy to watch, and you learn a lot, but I don't know if I actually buy everything that I'm watching. I think that there's some...
Some cooked elements.
I feel like, they might have gotten a little bit creative there.
With Jose Manuel Mieres.
Artistic license.
El Doctor. Mm. He, there's almost a... Almost. It's to fall short, of course, but almost a... Clean Flicks level twist of the main character at the end, where he's not quite what you think.
Clean Flicks, what do you mean?
Remember Clean Flicks?
Yeah, where they cut everything out.
Yeah, but at the end, the character ends up being not who you thought he was.
Yeah, it's very sudden. And if this is a cooked movie to an extent, which I'm not the only one saying that. Mm-hmm. I did some research on this. Is up for Best Documentary.
Yes, it is. Sorry, nominated for Best Documentary
and
Feature.
As the name might suggest, it's all about the drug cartels in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the Mexican?
What?
The main part of Mexico where they spend a lot of time. It sounds like Michigan, but it's not.
Oh, that's Michoacan. A great question. Oh, yeah, Michoacan. Michoacan.
And,
the accents over the last A.
Really colorful characters, and they're on both sides of the border, and you got like really racist fucks on the Arizona border. Mm-hmm. They're like, I've been a speed freak all my whole life. I've been looking for purpose, and I found it. It's Mexicans keeping them out.
Vigilantes on both sides.
Yes.
Vigilantes on both sides.
And if this story... if they are taking some artistic license and making stuff up, they are the filmmakers are shitty at story arc because they have the doctor painted as one color and then boom. Yeah, in your face, this guy's somebody
quite,
else.
It's quite the sudden turn, which makes me think it wasn't cooked because
right.
they don't lead up, they don't set the table for any of the very briefly. Remember when he's flirting with the girl in the back seat? We're getting ahead of ourselves. Remember flirting with the girl in the back seat?
Well, yeah, she first appears where they're doing some kind of like march down the street, mm-hmm. triumphant march. Like we've kicked the what this
so we should get back to the beginning. I'm sorry. So Cartel Land is about
where'd you see it? Is it streaming?
It's streaming, on Netflix right now.
Very good. It's definitely worth watching.
I would check it out. It's one of the better nominated documentaries this year. It is it's a movie that attempts to sympathize two unsympathetic groups: the militias, the vigilantes on both sides of the border. Of course, we know about the guys in Arizona. You probably heard about it in the news. There's a lot of news clips. The guys that sort of go there, take up arms, and decide to fight the streaming across the border on their own, and they're sort of working adjacent to the American authorities. They're not really licensed or empowered.
No.
Well, maybe they are licensed. I don't know.
In Arizona, it's
they're paramilitary,
a little loose.
I felt much more sympathetic towards them than I had before. I felt the same way about you. Same way as you, which is, you know, these racist fucks just want to shoot their guns. That's all they want to do is want to shoot brown people.
I can,
there's a real threat there. I kind of understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then you see their living quarters, and you're like, oh, okay, this kind of makes a little more sense. Mm-hmm. So there's stuff that's going on behind closed doors with those guys that we don't get to see. And if you don't, I'm talking about tattoos, if we strip those fucks down, how many swastikas do you think we count?
Oh,
I bet a few.
And or lightning bolts and other some paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was not sympathetic
over
20%. Towards these. I was not. And he actually makes, I don't remember his name, I don't have it offhand, but he makes a very interesting point in the beginning, which was he was just trying to keep illegals out, period. Illegals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they switched over to a more ballsy mission, which was to keep the cartels out, which is much more dangerous, obviously.
Much more ambitious.
But then the only thing that they have him doing on tape in the movie is these poor little Mexican dudes that are just trying to get over for a better life.
Better life.
Yeah. Fuck you, white dude.
So that's actually a smaller part of the story. The much larger part of the story is the Mexican militia, the Mexican vigilantes.
Which I didn't know existed.
I didn't know existed either.
I knew nothing about this.
Didn't know anything about it.
And I thought I knew a lot of like Narcos Culturas, which is a great documentary that's also streaming on Funflix. Mm-hmm. I thought I learned a whole lot about what was going on down there. Watching Breaking Bad, Sicario. Yeah.
Didn't know about the Auto Defensas. Mm-hmm. I think they're pronouncing it incorrectly, but it's the autodefensas, and they are the basically defending themselves, defending their own towns. They are going town to town. They're a sort of a tea party, not the political party, but I mean the guys back in the 1700s who took up arms and decided to flush out the enemy.
Out. Yeah,
and they're going door to door in their own towns and kicking doors open and pulling out guys that are associated with their with the cartels.
And the people are behind them because the people want safe streets in their little towns.
There's one great scene where the military, the actual Mexican military shows up and attempts to disarm this giant group, and they're in the town square and they start ringing the another documentary material. They ring the bells. They ring the church bells to get the town excited. They ring the church bells and the townspeople come out and they're like, get away. These guys are helping. These guys are doing what you won't.
Winter on Fire was the other one,
right? Winter on Fire was the other one where they rang the church bells.
Church bells are ringing in documentaries this year at the Oscars.
Indeed. Speaking of townspeople, I loved when, so the Templars, the Knight Templars are the guys that they nicknamed themselves, the cartel, and they're getting the Templars. Remember, they take the two guys into custody, and the townspeople take turns like kicking them and punching them because they've killed their family members.
And there's no, speaking about sympathetic villains, even though you know those guys, what was that one guy's name? I can't remember his name. He had a pretty memorable name.
Oh,
it was something along the lines of El Chapo.
Caballo, and there was
the Tania.
Not the Tania.
But you know that this guy has done horrible things.
Was that El Gordo or something like that?
Something like that, maybe.
Like Fatty or something like that.
They catch this guy, and you know, he's unarmed now, and they have him in custody, and they got his arms behind his back, and he's just taking this savage beating, which obviously was not fake. I mean, there's a lot of realistic gunfight. There actually are gunfights that are covered in this. I could keep expecting the cameraman to get taken out.
Yeah, they're... If anything was cooked, that I could see, because the cameramen were quite brazen when there were bullets seemingly everywhere.
But this guy getting beat down by the town folk, like I was afraid they were just going to get feeding frenzy,
and
they were just going to like kill him right then
it
and there.
Seemed like it was
just taking shots left and right to the head and the face and kicks to the groin. It's like, fuck! I know this guy's awful, but does anyone deserve that?
So, there's a character nicknamed Papa Smurf.
He's a cunt.
He's a kindly old man.
Sorry.
Who,
excuse my language. He's my least favorite type of person. I really hate that guy.
What type?
He's kind of like put into power, and then he just like he's not smart enough to deal with it, and he takes the easy way out, and oh, he just sucked. He was such a weak leader.
Yeah, I wrote down, actually, I wrote this exact sentence down. Kind of sad when Papa Smurf takes over and he dresses the town. Remember, they all start turning on him? Because this is the same, effectively the same type of town that they came to, you know, hail as heroes when the doctor, the charismatic El Doctor, when he was leading, they hailed as heroes. And when Papa Smurf is leading, they're like, your guys are out of control. What are you doing here? At least let the military
because he wasn't leading his men right, and you know they are men, and even though they were trying to do the good of getting the narcos out, they were trying to like hook up with the ladies as well, because
they're taking liberties,
and you know power breeds her heinousness.
Ultimate power corrupts ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. There is a great Shakespearean power shift towards the end, and top five bleak endings perhaps.
Brian, come on, settle down with that. All right, settle down. Stop it.
Please.
Stop.
Why?
I hate when you talk about endings one way or the other. Just don't do it.
Okay, so this movie doesn't end, actually. It goes on forever.
Well, it is.
It has an ending. It was either happy or
turns
sad.
Turns out.
Possibly happy, possibly sad.
The end, the drug cartels are still existing.
What?
Spoiler.
Oh, spoiler. Don't bother to drink.
In case you haven't looked outside.
Don't bother streaming
playlists. There's still drugs in the country going over borders.
Okay, all right. Well, you ruined everything.
Hey, I watched the movie.
What'd you say?
Your wife's style. On the plane, coming back from Ween. I was in Denver watching Ween.
My wife's style.
Saw them three nights in a row.
My wife saw Cartel land on a plane before me. She saw it months ago.
That's shocking that somebody saw a movie before you.
It's weird, right?
Mm.
Anyway, keep going.
Usually it's only the filmmakers that see movies before you.
The editor, maybe.
So I was on the behind a large man enjoying Cartel land on my way home from Denver yesterday on the plane. And it was really fun watching it without the sound and remembering what was going on. And I enjoyed that movie. But that's not what I'm flickfesting
at. That's your flickfesting.
that's a Brian style flickfesting.
How dare
right
you?
Yeah. I got a little movie. It's streaming right now on the old Showtime. If you
Cider
have
House
Showtime
rules
now,
Cider
Brian,
House rules.
Cider House Rules is a callback and it's a reach. And most listeners hearing these words are confused.
It's a dark day in Film Vault history when no one has any idea what I'm talking about when I mention the Cider House Rules.
That's kind of like when I was at camp. Like this last summer, not to off-road too much, but I had 12 and 13-year-olds, maybe 13 and 14-year-olds.
Okay.
And I brought up Seinfeld as a reference point.
Oh, no.
Not one of them. I had 15 kids in my cabin. Not one of them had heard of Seinfeld.
Had heard of it.
And one kid's like, yeah, Gary Seinfeld. He's a comedian, right? And I'm like, his name's Jerry Seinfeld, and I'm talking about the TV show. He had a TV show? Horrifying. That's a sad day.
First of all, what's TV?
There we go.
13-year-olds.
Speaking of in the past and things I didn't know much about, and now I seem to know way too much about, Drunk, Stone, Brilliant, Dead.
Oh, yes.
The story of the National Lampoon. Came out earlier last year. It's a documentary directed by Douglas Tirola.
Okay.
And, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of note that I can tell you that he's known for. Okay. But this is
not
one
a big
of those
filmography going into this.
Yeah, he's got, you know, he's been working for a while, but that's not the story here. The story is this. This is a movie that you will love.
Mm.
Okay.
It was on my most anticipated Sundance films like 2 years ago.
You're dumb in wanting to see SNL's documentary that came out earlier this year, which they're constantly self-congratulating themselves.
True.
Doing
a lot of self-elating.
25-year anniversary, 26-year anniversary, 33-year anniversary, 40-year anniversary shows. They're always patting themselves on the back. I knew that the SNL documentary that came out also last year, a little watered down, or was it this year?
That was
Doesn't
earlier
matter.
This year. Saw
this is very similar. A lot of crossover because Lorne Michaels, as you learned in this, essentially just went and stole all of their best point, best pieces of National Lampoon and hired them, put them on TV and paid them more. But
it's good business.
So it opens with an actual radio broadcast that they did. National Lampoon used to do like a little radio broadcast and radio hours and whatnot. It was a different time. I'm talking about the 70s. All right. It's a ride. From beginning to end, it's one of those documentaries that's just packed with information. This deserved at least a two-parter, if not a three-part documentary, because there are so many moving pieces. There are so many different
characters.
Did
they address where National Lampoon started out? Wasn't it a magazine or a newspaper? It was a publication, wasn't it?
Well, that's the main focus of this entire documentary is the magazine.
Okay, because you're talking about the radio thing. And I know
it opens with an actual... So they did all sorts of different media. They did a bunch of live shows. You learn all this, and there's so many moving parts and so many people... I'm not bright enough to be able to like follow along and figure and I'd have to stop it and then play it or at least see it twice because it's so chock full. It's so compact. It's one of those documentaries. You see these movies.
It's bursting at the scenes.
And there's it's rife with all the different articles and artwork and then, you know, from all the years of National Lampoon. Essentially what it is too is it's interesting because it's pretty much the first generation that was able to just do a bunch of drugs. Really smart people, like from Harvard and college. It was a college campus publication to begin with.
Was it Harvard Lampoon first and then became National?
Yeah. And they just sat in rooms getting high and stoned and LSD and drunk and, you know, everything, and writing for like all day with their friends. Essentially like the After Disaster when we first began, like for 3 years, where we just get drunk and talk about ridiculous stuff. But it is fucking insane how politically incorrect it was. And this is just the 70s. Yeah. Like, it was just child porn jokes and like religious jokes and just all sorts of like sexual rape jokes and like the baby in the blender with Satan's finger on the fucking button. And one of the most notorious covers they ever had was this dog with this great look on its face and a gun was to its head. And it just said, "If you don't buy this magazine, we'll shoot this dog." That kind of humor throughout, right? And it really gives you a good idea of, we've all heard this. Many of us have heard the stories about Chevy Chase.
Sure.
Well, what a difficult man he is to work with.
He's not widely liked.
Yeah. Well, it's because he still has the same ideals as he did when he was back working with National Lampoon. I mean,
meaning what?
Womanizing, anything goes, racism's hilarious.
Sort of locked in at that age.
Yes, he's definitely Arrested Development. But they have so many interviews in this movie. Judd Apatow, Kevin Bacon, John Belushi is obviously a part of it. Richard Belzer, Chevy Chase, as I just said, Beverly D'Angelo, John Goodman, Christopher Guest, John Landis, Bill Murray, and John Hughes. He's mentioned and talked about, obviously, because he ended up making Vacation. Mm-hmm. But
they couldn't get him for the interview for this movie?
No, he was not available, Brian.
Did Jack Forrest Lawn?
But it covers everything, ups and downs, and it's intercut with artwork from the magazine, various interviews, radio bits continue to come in as in little interstitials, which culminates with the making of the movies and the ultimate demise of the brand and its characters, even though, you know, it still rears its head every here and there.
Yes,
now
I
and
think
again.
People know it nowadays.
It's still got brand recognition.
Yeah, Van Wilder or whatever it's doing
think
these days.
Most people, because, you know, I grew up in the 80s, most of us don't realize just what a cultural phenomenon it was and just how offensive the material was. And
all I know of them is the movies. Is it pretty much the movies?
And, you know, a lot of it is right place, right time, smart people, funny people, but they're kind of the first generation, like 1945, born in 1945 to 1970, that generation that just said, hey, we can do a bunch of mind-altering drugs and write funny, horrible shit and make money at it. I mean, it's like a dream job. It's like Mad Men, but just to fuck off. And they're good at it, and they, you know, got a lot of attention. Ultimately, you know, they cover this, but it's the religious right, the Christian right, that ends up shutting them down and gets all their advertisement out. But there's so much there. This could be a 10-part dramatized series. Mm-hmm. It would be really good, like a Mad Men type thing, but just make it a standalone season.
Yeah.
Just everything that happened over at National Lampoon. Mm. So rich with history.
Yeah, it's a time and a place, too. It's like you don't see – it's hard for people – raised in this era to understand how it was back then. That's how it was.
It really is hard. A lot of it is just absolutely awful, too. That 70s is just a terrible, terrible time, terrible place. And just all the sexist jokes. And like, it makes me, some of it made me uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. Some of it made me like, wow, you're going a little far there. You know what I mean? Just for the sake of humor. Some of it wasn't even funny. Like, there was this one cartoon. And it's just like a naked woman waist down. And there's like a little red Santa, like a little small Santa for whatever reason, crawling up her... crawling up her side towards the vagina, and it says, "Yes, vagina, Santa is real." What?
Like yes,
or
Virginia,
vaginas
like,
believe in Santa, or something
no,
along
but
those lines.
It's like, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. That's the quote.
What is that?
That's from Miracle on 42nd Street, isn't it?
Okay.
Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Oh, look, you fucking
idiot. Yeah, don't look at him. He doesn't know.
Yeah, that's the quote. But yes,
perhaps
vagina,
it was lost on me. Okay, yeah. But there's
it's from an old movie from like 1940.
Like I said, I mean, this is the type of thing you'd have to watch a couple times without missing anything. It's just constantly like bombarded with like images and cartoon captions. And John Hughes, man, he was filthy. Hmm. You'd have no idea.
No, it's a
wholesome. He's the one who has a child porn little comic strip that I mentioned.
I don't want to hear about that.
It's unbelievable what people used to get away with. And thank God, you know, they've cleaned it up a little bit because there's no place for that in common culture, Brian. Too much. It's too much. You know what I mean?
I do. I'm excited. You saw this on a plane?
No, I did not. I saw Sicario on a plane.
So I have to get on a plane to watch
this? It's on Showtime. I did here's a little tip, guys. You do the 30 days for free with Showtime. I don't know how they're going to charge me because all they did was take my email. I don't know what they're planning on doing, but
probably stopping your trial.
Do you have any idea, Logan, what the deal is there?
Yeah, we'll probably just stop your trial.
Okay, well, that's a horrible
good
business.
Good luck, Showtime.
Horrible business model. What they usually do is have you put in your credit card information and all that, but I signed up twice because the first one didn't work. You just put in your credit card, do it on Amazon. It's real easy. They give you 30 days free, set a little reminder, make sure. And they got a few documentaries and movies, obviously, on Showtime, the app that you can watch through your Apple TV there. Drunk, Stone, Brilliant, Dead, the story of National Lampoon, one of them, and as well as the next one that I'm going to be flick fishing.
Excellent. I very much want to see that.
I'm going to be flick fest in another one that I saw the same way, Brian. Not on a plane, on Showtime.
On Terra Firma?
Yes.
The ground?
Mm-hmm.
The earth?
Right.
I saw a film.
Yes.
Possibly the greatest film ever made.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about here. This is such a Brian movie.
Logan, you see this? Let's talk about Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Oh, glorious.
Let's talk about the neutered Deadpool.
Neutered. Interesting. Why do you say neutered?
All right. Superfan Giovanni.
I don't know that name.
Giovanni and I have been going back for years, you know, and
you're old friends.
I think I'm the only one on the Loveline crew who has not met Giovanni face to face.
You've not?
Never. I've avoided.
I've seen him outside your house.
I avoid everyone as much as I possibly. I don't like face to face communication. It makes me uncomfortable. But Gio and I talk to him on the phone about things. He's been a huge help with cinematics.
Gio's a good guy.
And he's a huge help with Classic Loveline. He does the intros for all that. And so Gio and I are back and forth on a regular basis. He's been bugging me about, hey, I say bugging.
You mean pestering?
No. Gio, you know what I'm talking about. But the man, he gives passion a new meaning. I'm passionate.
He's driven.
This guy's passionate about Loveline. And evidently, right behind Loveline is Deadpool.
Deadpool's sweet.
And at one point, Loveline and Deadpool were supposed to kind of merge for a moment there on screen.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And Gio's been talking about that for years, apparently. He had a leaked script, or I don't even know if it was leaked. I don't want to misspeak.
It's a version of the script.
But Gio and I have been going back and forth, and he's been giving me tons of information on Deadpool, which I would never have otherwise known.
That's
and
good.
I'm okay with not knowing it.
Really?
Honestly, because I'm not a massive fan.
Okay, well,
I should go ahead.
I should preface this by saying, you probably know this about me. I don't care about comic books. I don't own any comic books. I've never collected comic books. It's not my thing.
Which is weird because you're such like a comic book
guy. It feels like I should be, right? Yeah. But it never latched on. I was more into, I don't know, cartoons or whatever, or films. But
comic books are too adult.
Comic books are a little too, I don't like the actual real feel in my hand. I like to pretend there's things on the screen. That said, when X-Men Origins Wolverine came around years ago, I think it's a movie we both kind of didn't love.
I didn't watch.
We never saw X-Men Origins
Wolverine. No, I'm good with it.
You're not really missing
I feel
much.
Good about that.
But you are missing a great scene and a half with Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
He jumped off the screen, and I was like, this guy's fantastic. Right. Why there should be a movie about him? I looked him up and I did a little research, and this guy, Deadpool, is Wade Wilson character, who he ended up, the origin story for Deadpool, they were going to make a spinoff movie. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this last week, right? There's going to be a spinoff movie, got put into turnaround, development hell, blah, blah, blah. The footage leaked, became a phenomenon amongst the nerds. There was some test footage leaked.
Yes.
And became a phenomenon. And I always found Deadpool super compelling, not just because he beat cancer, but also because he broke the fourth wall and he talked to the audience and he knew he was in a comic book. And
he cheated cancer. Literally.
He found a way around it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this, God willing, this movie gets made. I think it'll be just the antidote. And then all of the other comic book movies came around, the Avengers, which I'm tired of, and I think a lot of people are tired of, and all of the offshoots, Captain America's and the Thor's, and I thought this would be a nice antidote if they do it right. They did it right.
They did it right for you, and a lot of people, obviously.
So tell me why you're bucking the trend. You see, you said you didn't like it?
I wanted to like it. I really
did. I don't
think
you did. But you defaulted to no.
Nope, Brian.
See,
hey,
there you go.
I'm the first one to admit that, like, hey, I get it, and I'm on board. Mm. Dude, Pixar, right there, bang. Mm. I love like the big movies if they're really good, if they hit the right chord with me. This one felt a little bit neutered. It felt like it was trying. It was more.
It's a hard R. How do you feel it's neutered?
It's not. It's sneering and it's like not punk rock. He's just a punk. He's just a bitch. I don't like him.
He's an anti-hero.
And when
he's
I'm watching it, I'm
guy.
Thinking, you know what? He'd be a great secondary character, like a background character. And I'd think that I'd want to see an entire movie with him. But an entire movie with him is just too. It's too much. I don't buy it. He's beyond an anti-hero, Brian. He's also a hero. With the opening credits, which was my favorite.
The opening credits were the best.
That was the best. And it was all downhill from there.
No.
And first time director, you can't be making fun of the genre and then do the exact same thing that the genre is that you're making fun of unless you're doing a pure satire. And I don't think he was doing a satire.
No, I don't think he was.
The problem with Deadpool with me was it wasn't him against the world. It was He wasn't against any kind of like establishment. He was just a prick.
There's an establishment if you follow all the X-Men origin stories.
See, and I don't, so yeah. It's lost on me.
I guess he didn't take a stand per se, you know what I mean? Like, I'm against this, but he definitely felt very alternative, for lack of a better word. Like, he's definitely going, it's funny that you referred to him as neutered, because I feel like all those,
when he's
all the Avenger movies and spinoffs, those are neutered. Those are PG-13.
Yeah, well, they're very neutered.
My big complaint about that is no one's ever in any danger. No one can ever die in this.
Right.
And that's not...
I felt that way here, too.
Really?
I never felt like anyone was really in any real danger. And what was with the ex-girl, the little girl with the gothic girl or whatever?
Oh, teenage...
What was her power? She would just
bear
down and some kind of atomic bomb would come out of her ass? What was happening there?
She was the best.
Negasonic teenage warhead.
What is that?
That was awesome.
There was a really weird...
That was a really minor character,
horrible edit, too, where like it just showed her for half a second. It was bizarre and it didn't feel right. Like I'm like, was there a mistake in the movie just now? Anyways, I'm nitpicking.
You are. Overall, this didn't satisfy. This wasn't a. There was okay, it was a brisk hour and 40 minutes. It was super refreshing.
It was all your style humor.
Yes, it was. I loved
it. It was like Juno for boys. It was Juno for boys. Fucking #drive by. Like I just wanted to fucking throw something at the screen at that point.
He farted,
and then he's like #drive by. It's teenage fucking. Not even punk rock, teenage little bitch humor. It's like the way that I would see like kids talking to each other, trying to impress each other in the locker room. That's what it is.
Yeah, but then he follows it up by killing the people.
Yeah, then there's like those fucking, he shoots three guys in the head.
All right, so in the original script, and I'm going back to the neutered, all right, his girlfriend, did it seem kind of weird that she like worked at a strip joint as a bartender?
Well, that was after, she's a hooker, she's a prostitute, and then afterwards, she was so heartbroken that the only job she could take was as a...
Well, I think she straightened out when she got into a relationship with Wade.
In the script.
She lost her way.
I mean, in the script that they ended up shooting. In the original, like she continued to be a hooker, and he continued to pay her throughout their entire relationship. This is all according to Gio, okay?
Okay.
All right. Also, when...
Neither direction would make the movie any less for me.
When Ajax... there's a scene where like main bad guy uses a child as a there's a scene where he in the script where he pulls a child in front of him, he's using him as a shield.
Human shield?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And Deadpool actually grabs a little girl and he starts using her as a human shield. Like they went in the original script, they went all the way, and it didn't feel like they went all the way with this one. It felt like they were still pussyfooting around going, what do we give 17-year-old boys?
Now, now I'm wondering if this sort of is confirmation bias for you? Like, did you find out these things after you didn't like the movie, or is this making you not like the movie?
No.
Finding these things out after the fact.
It felt neutered to me. I felt like it was made for older teenage boys while I was watching it. And then in talking with Gio back and forth, he has confirmed many of my concerns.
See that, but for me, it doesn't take away from the movie.
Ryan Reynolds used to be on Love Line. He was on a couple times, and he loved it. And he actually, I think, got Carolla a spot on Two Guys and a Pizza.
Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Yeah, that. And the writers of Deadpool, big Love Line fans back in the day, and they actually had that opening sequence that took place with the battle in the car.
Yeah, smashing his
head.
They
smashed the stereo, and the song came on. It was originally supposed to be Love Line. It was Corolla with Ranchero music and all that. I don't think it would have worked.
Wouldn't it be good if it was Drew and Stryker?
They would have had to change it quite a bit, but that entire sequence. But that was in the original script. Mm. Yes. Not important. Most people are going to like it. I can't believe critics are eating it up like they are.
I think it's just a welcome change of pace, and it's done well.
It's the same movie,
very well.
It's the same construct. It's the exact same construct as all the other movies.
Well, okay, in the sense that, like, you know, Star Wars is the same construct as
I mean, it comes down to, like, mano a mano, the bad guy against the hero, in this case, the anti-hero.
I don't know, man.
That's every fucking movie. If you zoom out enough, that's every single movie.
Not every single movie, no.
There's a bad guy overcoming obstacles to achieve his wants.
Bunch where they have a bunch of other little people that all take each other out, and then it just comes down to the one man mano a mano. How many times have we seen that? And you can't open the movie making fun of those movies and then become that movie.
Well, it's interesting because I think Gio could lend some insight into this for you, which is the movie. Maybe he told you already. They cut $7 million from the budget right at the very end,
as well.
And it necessitated a lot of script changes, such as the end was going to be this much bigger thing with guns everywhere, and then it necessitated what became the ending. It was going to be a much bigger shoot 'em up, blow 'em up ending, and it became a much... I liked it. My main criticism of a lot of movies, not just the Avenger movies, but a lot of movies in general, is the whole third act is just kind of devolves into a lot of shooting and fighting and blowing up. And at least this one, it's a revenge movie. The thing I liked about it was it boiled down to almost... Like, Logan wanted to do top five low... Do we do top five low stakes movies?
I don't think we ever did it.
I don't
it.
Think we did it. But this would be mine where it's like, there's really, we're not trying to prevent the end of the earth. We're not trying to prevent the aliens from invading. This guy just wants to fuck up this guy who fucked up his life.
How many times did you laugh out loud?
Many.
Twice for me. Maybe, no. Maybe once.
I can't reference all the lines.
This is your style humor. This is a movie made for Brian.
I want to reference some of the lines, but I want to ruin them for anyone who hasn't seen.
Don't ruin it. There's a lot of great one-liners that are.
Did you love it too, Logan?
I really liked it. I think it was tampered by the fact that I was looking forward to it so much.
Yeah.
It just couldn't live up to the anticipation. But that being said, I still really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun watching it.
You know what I laughed at? The superhero landing.
That was great. Yeah, Here it comes. Here it comes.
I thought of you when that happened, too.
Yeah. I've been bitching about that one for a while now. And he saw it.
Can I tell you? Can I tell
Other than that, though, I did not see eye to eye with Deadpool. And, like when he's talking to his cab driver.
I loved it. Jarbinder.
Trying to tell him to kill the guy. He's like encouraging stalker behavior. It's like, that's not really funny, especially if he's not that guy.
It was
all the way
right.
You want him to use a child as a human shield, but you don't want him to encourage his cab driver to kill somebody.
Because he wasn't that was all
hilarious.
The way through. I didn't buy him all the way through.
But I think maybe another thing Gio could lend some insight into, or another hardcore Deadpool fan, is I understand that Deadpool, as he progresses in his disease or superhero-dom or whatever they did to him, it's fucking with his mind. Like it's making him a little crazier. So maybe they didn't address that, but he's supposed to, I think in the comics, he's supposed to get a little crazier as he gets
maybe
more
traumatized.
I hate to say this, I'm just too old, guys. I think the Ryan Reynolds smirking,
no,
I'm a smart ass, and isn't what I just said so funny? It was too cutesy and smirky for me.
No.
Like if it was made with like Nicolas Cage, like in his mid-20s, fuck yes, I'm in.
It's been a long time since you've been so wrong about a movie.
Mm, all right. And I agree. I mean, I know that it's, I'm missing the point because it's like 85% or something on Rotten Tomatoes.
84 last I checked, yeah. Like what, when he looks to the cab driver, you know what to do.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Awesome.
So funny. That's so for you,
oh,
Brian.
Oh, my God.
I liked all the jabs at the studio, really.
Yeah. This house is really empty.
I don't want to. Don't do that. Don't
maybe
do that.
The most self.
One of my favorite lines.
When they drag him away to see Professor, you're coming to see Professor Xavier.
Yeah,
McAvoy, you're still.
Stop it, Brian.
You're ruining my favorite
stop
lines
it,
of the
Brian,
movie.
Stop it. But. Probably without a doubt, other than maybe Man Bites Dog, the most self-aware movie I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, he's talking freely about making movies, and there's references to I can't give away all that stuff.
Stop it! Yeah, stop it. All right, we've said enough.
I encourage everyone to see it.
I have a hard time with this one because I like to talk movies up and get people to see movies rather than talk movies down that they're gonna already see. You know what I mean? So or that they're already gonna like. I don't want to make people not like a movie.
Well, now, actually, I think you've lowered their expectations
okay,
a little
good.
Bit. Can I tell you something?
I don't like talking about Deadpool.
Can I say something that
fuck
might upset
Deadpool.
You? Might upset you? You know, I liked it better? The second time I saw it.
Are you kidding me? What?
Two times.
That doesn't shock me. But just like when you saw Wild Tales and you told me that it was a very Anderson movie, all while I'm watching, which is another reason now that I think about the big picture why I probably didn't like it that much. I'm watching this and
Wild
thinking,
Tales?
Wow.
I love Wild
no,
Tales.
I'm talking about Deadpool. Oh. As I'm watching Deadpool, like maybe every 3 minutes, my brain is saying, Brian will love this. Brian is going to fucking love this movie. This is a Brian movie.
It's so great.
Yeah. And you love your Ryan Reynolds. For me,
he's spent 66
I like the voices
under a mask.
I like the voices so much more than Deadpool.
The voice.
So
oh my God. Yes. Go
so
ahead.
Much more.
Did you know there's a Ryan Reynolds movie directed by Adam Egoyan?
It's called Buried. Yes.
Came out last year. I've never heard of.
These
are dark days
for
Adam Egoyan.
I was looking at Adam Egoyan's his list just recently, and there's a number of movies that I've missed just recently of Adam Egoyan, and I was a big fan. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to be reviewing one coming up here soon. He's got a
really?
Good one coming up.
Okay, because I'm going to look up the title. Go ahead for your next film.
Are you going to hop on with me here with old Michael Jackson
we'll
over
see.
There?
We should explain to people why you're flip-fessing this and not the one that they thought you were in.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you do that? Because I don't even know.
I assigned Anderson a film. I had it on my list as for him to see, the SNL documentary. But then I forgot that we had recently spoken about off the air the Michael Jackson, well, on the air too for the Sundance preview, Michael Jackson's journey from Motown to Off the Wall, and found out recently that he was streaming. And I was like, oh, I'll definitely assign that to Anderson next time. Totally forgot about it. And then I realized as he was driving away, no, that's the movie I want you to watch.
Right.
So we both watched it.
It's a long, I appreciate that. The Captive is the Adam Egoyan movie with Ryan Reynolds that you're talking about.
Yes.
And Remember is the movie that I ironically could not remember the title of just now, which is an Adam Egoyan movie coming up here soon, and I will be reviewing that one very soon and talking about it. Oh, looks good. Christopher Plummer and Dean Norris.
Poor Adam. A-T-O-M.
A-T-O-M, my favorite Canadian filmmaker.
Really? Still?
I like him a lot. Mm. I got to interview him, and I really enjoyed the interview. He's a very smart man. All right, Michael Jackson, Journey from Motown to Off the Wall, 2016. Also now streaming on Showtime. Indeed. If you do that little cheat you for a month thing. Actually, it's not. They're offering it up.
Yeah, it's
30
free.
Days.
It's just 30-day free trial.
And if you get hooked on anything, keep doing it for $10.99. Not bad.
Yeah, or do the smart thing and call up your cable provider if you still have cable and say, I'd like to try Showtime. They give you like 3 months.
Do they? Always? Yeah. Not always.
No. Almost, DirecTV almost, doesn't do that. Almost all the time. Mm-hmm. Logan?
Yeah, usually Showtime is more likely to give deals than HBO.
All right.
I'll Michael wait. Jackson's journey from Motown to Off the Wall.
So Brian assigned me yet another music doc.
Mm-hmm.
When does it end, Brian?
It never will. I got another one on deck.
Do you really?
No, but I could.
And this one is directed by Spike fucking Lee.
I forgot about that, actually. I didn't realize that until they kept showing Spike Lee for the cutaways. I'm like, why the fuck is Spike Lee in this so much?
I'm glad you brought that up. It's a third of the way into the movie, right? I'm taking furious notes, watching intently, going, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Spike, I'm kind of proud of you. You're not putting yourself in your own movie. Way to go, buddy. And then bam, like a fucking smack to the face, like a wet porn slap, just back.
Yep.
There he is. Slap. Like a wet, you know, like a slap the ass. Yep. Like it hit me hard.
Like with intent.
And it was upsetting.
With intent.
And if you remember what it was that he was in the movie, his own movie for, do you remember?
No, but I did write down the sentence.
He had
tickets. A little too much participation from the director.
He wasn't in it nearly as much as I would have expected. And he doesn't
any
amount
too much.
But yeah, you're right. Any amount's too much. You don't put yourself in your own movie. It's gross and it's
either
disgusting.
You narrate
unless
it like,
you have
you know,
something really poignant to say.
Or if you're Michael Moore style, you are the movie. But
right.
There's no halfway in between.
He had nothing to say. He had tickets to something and he saved up his money because he was working at like an Applebee's or a Baskin Robbins.
Yeah, it was an anecdote that any number of hundreds of thousands of people had.
Not even a good story. He had tickets and it was a Michael Jackson related show that he had tickets for and he asked this girl that he had a crush on and she said no, so he scalped him and made money.
so
don't
clever.
Put that in the movie.
Bit of a humble brag.
And then, before I get off the whining and bitching, there's also this horrible video, which I can't believe Spike Lee's been around this long, from 1977 or 79,
yeah.
And it was a Michael Jackson or Jackson-themed, like, in the Brooklyn, and he's credited himself, which is weird. It said the name of the song, it said what it was, and it said directed by Spike Lee, and it's the only time that he actually went back to that clip and then re-credited himself.
It's like, just in case you forgot.
Yeah, in case you forgot. What the I see right through it, Spikey. I see right through it. All that being said, this is my favorite Spike Lee movie by a long shot.
Really? More than Inside Man?
I did not like Inside Man.
No.
As much as you.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. Really, I'm glad you liked it because I don't think I actually liked it that much.
I don't know. You know, Michael Jackson grew up with him. He's an iconic character in my life, and I didn't really know that much about him.
About this era specifically. This era is very
it ends with Off the Wall. Yeah, it ends right before Thriller, which is where I pick up to know Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So it's everything before I knew of Michael Jackson. So much awfulness in those early videos. So it really is an examination of the 70s. Holy
shit. And the news
shit.
The news footage. More just like the Look of Silence. There was some great inappropriate. Remember the guy's like, there are some Soul Brothers on stage.
Well, there's that, obviously. Yeah, yeah.
The white news reporter. We're here with some Soul Brothers. Very inappropriate.
Just to derail a little bit, are you watching Vinyl right now?
No, I need to because of Bobby Cannavale.
They touch a lot about this, like just how they kind of took advantage of black singers in that era.
Well, for sure. Yeah, and you know what? And also to Spike Lee's credit, they didn't spend a lot of time on race with this. I mean, there's like about an 8-minute chunk there towards the end, maybe 5 minutes. And I'm like, is this what it's all going to devolve down into and make it all about?
Yeah.
But then he gets off it before he ends the movie, which I credited him with because I know that was probably very, very hard for him. But I really got a good insight about Michael Jackson. I had no idea that the Force Don't Stop was about Star Wars. I had no idea. I didn't know that he sang that song about Ben, the sequel
Willard?
To Willard. No idea.
Did you know? I didn't realize there was like the Gamble and Huff thing, the quality disco. I didn't know those guys were like credited with like doing, because disco was hated, you know, by the end of the 70s.
Right.
But these guys were doing quality disco. Like, no, these guys are good. I didn't realize that.
I didn't know that he hung out in Studio 54.
That was so surreal.
Little MJ.
I have that written down too. Everyone around him is on drugs and drunk and high as a kite, and he's just sitting there, wide-eyed innocence.
I really
this is the excitement, and it's clearly not altered. Like everyone else is fucked out of their minds. He's like, it's just so much fun.
And then that one lady, she's like, "Aren't you just here to get nailed in the ass?" He's like, "You're being ignorant. Stop it. You're being ignorant." But it's got so many goddamn people that it interviews. Good. Just an assault of interviews. They got John Legend, Lee Daniels, Quincy Jones, Rosie Perez, Joel Schumacher, Pharrell Williams, Brian, Sammy Davis Jr., Kobe Bryant's licking his lips in this one.
Did he seem out of place?
Who?
Kobe Bryant? Yeah, absolutely.
I have it written down right here. I'll be honest. I didn't need Kobe. What the fuck?
Whoever
why
needs
why not
Kobe.
Interview Michael, why not interview Michael Jordan?
The only like
iconically linked to Michael Jackson.
That would have been even better.
And Spike Lee.
Yeah, he could have interviewed himself.
They used to do commercials together, remember?
That's right. Yeah. The only parallel Mark between Blackman. Kobe and him were that they were kind of child prodigies, essentially.
You think it was like they lost a bet?
No,
Spike Lee lost a bet because he's a big Knicks fan too. Why he has a Laker in this movie?
I think he's doing something else with Kobe, and probably came up when they were working together.
It wasn't bad. I kind of like to hear Kobe talk about how Michael Jackson influenced his basketball career. Yeah. That was interesting. But you know, sure. it's a feat to take somebody as huge of a character as Michael Jackson and educate. Not that I'm a massive Michael Jackson fan, but I grew up loving Thriller. I listened to it on my Walkman.
You'd be insane not to
like
it.
I like Bad. I'm familiar with Michael Jackson. I thought I had a pretty good idea of what he was. And this painted a whole different side of not necessarily a better. You know what? What really was great was it showed what an obsessive artist he was.
Yeah, he's always been known as a perfectionist.
And it made me feel like I took him for granted a little bit and just kind of like, you know, what he does is like.
It's effortless.
Now, they interview all these people. One of the people that they interview that's being interviewed throughout the movie is, do I have her name written down? I can't stand it.
LaToya Jackson.
No, you know what? Janet and LaToya were auspiciously missing. Weird, right? Dream Hampton.
You know what, though? They were children. They weren't a big part of this era. They interviewed, LaToya, I guess, went to him with that.
A woman named Dream Hampton, who is a culture critic, and she rubbed me the wrong way.
I barely remember her.
She's the one who got into the race relations a little bit. Oh. She's the one who actually she made an argument. And she's like, when people are talking about black artists, they usually just talk about natural God given talent, and they refuse to acknowledge the fact that they actually work hard at their craft. Fuck you! You use God given talent everywhere. You talking about everybody.
You literally just made that point about yourself.
What do you mean?
You didn't realize how much effort Michael Jackson put into his music.
No, but I didn't realize how much effort he put into his music despite the fact that he's black or white. That doesn't matter. Okay. It doesn't. It never because he was black did I just say, oh, yeah, he just must be naturally talented. Never.
Okay. All right.
I did not like that point at all.
That's good.
Dream. That's how are you? And she's a culture critic, and she like a, she's one of the worst people ever.
That's funny that you took issue. I barely even noticed her. The person that I had real issue with was the poet who went over the end credits. Oh, boy. That was rough.
Oh, I
that was dreadful.
I hated that at the first 5 seconds. Then I'm like, you know what? First of all, he's white, which is kind of weird that a white guy's doing this for all, you know, white rappers doing
like
this
slam,
for all the,
it's like slam poetry.
For all the black fans that were there. Brian's talking about this big, like, 2009 festival that they had, I think on Michael Jackson's birthday in Brooklyn. And this guy comes out, and to celebrate Michael Jackson's life, he's doing this poetic scream rap into a microphone, looking towards the heavens. And I was really upset.
And
by
they
it.
Put the lyrics on the screen.
But then I kind of liked the lyrics. I'm no, like, you know what? Didn't. Yeah, they're kind of spot on. I'm in.
They were spot on. They were
literally spot on.
They were literally on the like nail on the head.
You need to have that when you have a large group of people.
I don't know, man. It felt like speaking of losing a bet. Felt like he lost a bet, and Spike was like, "Oh no, we're keeping that in." Like,
I can't believe Spike would end with that.
Do anything to keep that out.
And then they were cutting to hit that same guy in a studio, and he had like a thick accent, but didn't have a thick accent on stage when he was doing his rap thing. Weird.
It's
I'm a big fan of that guy.
It's embarrassing.
I like that guy. And there's a show.
I'm a big fan.
There's a show called Empire, which I've never ever seen, and I'll never watch.
Really, I heard you liked it.
And I could see, because Lee Daniels, a creator of that, Lee Daniels is interviewed in this. And in watching this one, I can see
is
how.
Is he the same Lee Daniels from Lee Daniels the Butler?
Yes, Brian. Despite the fact that he put that in the title, Lee Daniels the Butler, oh my God. I liked him in these interviews. And the show Empire, I've heard good things about it. I could see a lot of parallels with Empire and the Jackson family. They didn't go into all the dark stuff with his dad being so horrible. And you wonder, you know, if Michael Jackson were born and raised today with things being so much different for the gay community, because can we all agree that he's just a gay dude, right? He's gay.
I think it's pretty well understood at this point, yeah.
It was never addressed in the movie.
Oh, no, he was a ladies' man. He was dating around Hollywood.
He was singing that one song, right? She's out of my life and crying. Who was the girl?
Who broke Michael's heart?
Yeah, and it's like, dude, why doesn't some one person say, I wonder which dude that song's about for him?
At the end of the day, if this movie gets a 90-minute documentary, then does Thriller get like a 12-part miniseries?
Are there plans of Spike moving on? Because I'd watch that in a heartbeat.
I would too, because it's 10 times the album this is. Off the Wall is notable for one or two songs.
What are you, a music critic now? Who are you going to say that? All these music fucking experts in this documentary are talking about how it's one of the greatest albums of all time.
No, they were alluding to Thriller. Like they were like, this is getting ready for Thriller throughout the whole movie.
There's literally no comparison.
Mm-hmm. I don't know Off the Wall. I was surprised that I knew as many songs off it as I did.
Indeed. Off the Wall. Mm-hmm. Come up next.
Little Mikey. So interesting to see him like grow, like how people like, oh, you mean the kid singer? Yeah, how are you gonna take him seriously? Yeah. But man, was he was so obsessed with perfection. Yeah. He actually had this great quote, which was he's a believer in perfection or something along those lines. I remember there's an arrow hitting a bullseye, and then it hit the bullseye again and split the arrow, and it was his quote. You could hear his voice saying,
"Who's been on the news? I've been on the news."
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I kind of liked it too. I didn't like it as much as I thought I would. You liked it more than you thought it would. We probably met somewhere around the same spot.
And it was a lot easier to focus on than that other one, the drunk Stone Brilliant Dead documentary on National Lampoon, because there's just too many people. This was just MJ. It was kind of a relief. Like, oh, let's just focus on one dude here.
True.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, Tattoo Talk. Joyous times, Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's getting married. At least I assume that as long as the bachelorette party goes well, they'll still get married. Someone outfitted their bachelorette.
I've seen those Dancing Bear videos.
A little too well.
You ever seen those Dancing Bear videos?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's like a strip joint where the male strippers wear bear heads.
And they make them dance?
And then the brides-to-be blow them.
I didn't see it going
that
way.
They have you believe that these are actual parties going on, like bachelorette parties, and they have them online.
Oh. Yes.
Dancing Bear.
Well,
check it out.
Do a little research.
Free click
look,
there.
Look that up real quick. Hey, in the meantime, thanks to the person or persons who clicked through and outfitted their entire bachelorette party with a bunch of stuff from Amazon through our click-through banner. Speaking of banners, someone got a bachelorette banner to hang in their house. Someone got bachelorette party cocktail napkins, a sash that says bride-to-be, a tiara that says bride-to-be, and danglers, martini glass danglers for bachelorette.
The 8% party. Coming through. I love it.
Yeah, or else some more likely, some 92%. Or ordered his fiance to click through.
No.
You don't think so? You think an 80%er? Hey, congratulations.
Yeah.
Get your new fiance.
You're
on
not
board.
Involved in your wife's bachelorette party. You don't. You just let her go do it, and usually it's her friend who's actually doing it. So that's probably a friend. That's actually a really good point.
Yeah, thanks, 8%. We appreciate it. Other things purchased through the Anderson and Brian banner on andersonandbrian.com. Hey, if that bachelorette party goes super well, maybe they'll need a Baby Trend Flex Lock infant car seat. Before long, you can get that. Someone got that on the Amazon click through. Also, a handheld gimbal for GoPro. You know what that is? That's like the handheld counterweight thing that you hold the GoPros with.
I assume it's probably just some kind of mount.
Like yeah, exactly. But yeah. So it doesn't shake all over the place. It kind of counterweights.
It's a gimbal, Brian.
It's a gimbal.
Move it.
What is this here? Oh, Anderson, you've used this probably before. It's a color checker. It's like the thing with all the colors on. You hold up in front of the camera when you're about to start shooting, so the editors can sort of get the color locked in. Right.
Work. They still use those.
Someone bought one.
Wow.
Huh? An Apple MacBook Air was purchased. A 28-inch LED Samsung monitor was purchased. A Audio Technica Studio Monitor headphones were bought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A Bissell portable carpet cleaner, professional. Deadpool movie poster. Anson, was that you? You're not supposed to clip through your own banner. Deadpool movie poster. Edge of Tomorrow.
Wait until you get a load of me.
That's good stuff. A Kindle was purchased. 6-inch high resolution display Kindle with built-in light. Wi-Fi includes special offers. Use those special offers on the Amazon site if you don't mind. Amazon Apple iPod Nano. People still buying iPod Nanos.
Wow.
They're small.
Yeah. You clip to your leg bra when you're at the gym.
Hence the name. Yeah, that's what I do. What is this here?
Steroids gives you man boobs.
28-watt solar. How dare you? 28-watt solar powered attic ventilator was purchased. You gotta ventilate the attic. Can't get too hot up there, especially if you have valuable collectibles, goods. Oh, tax season. TurboTax, home and business, federal and state taxes were purchased, as was H&R Block software. So if you want to do the software from H&R Block, want to do it from TurboTax, you can get it through our banner on Amazon. And someone celebrating the Denver Broncos Super Bowl win by getting a, what is this here? Oh, an adjustable hat. And, that actually says Super Bowl Champions. And the official locker room t-shirt, Super Bowl 50 Champions. Did people actually get I didn't realize people actually got the merchandise, the official... Keep these going. The official merchandise, like the Super Bowl 50 winners.
You didn't realize that all that stuff that you see being advertised and schlocked all over town?
I guess I understand.
If your team wins, you want a memorabilia little thing.
Do you have Penguins gear?
I don't have a lot because they've only won once in the last 25 years.
Let's see the movies.
I got a Stein. I got a mug with it says the year that they won and whatnot. Yeah.
Let's hear the movies.
Here are the movies. Click through the last one. Airplane, as well as Airplane 2. The sequel, Before Midnight, was clicked through, as well as Catfish, Cyrus.
Catfish.
Drive.
Speaking of cooked documentaries.
No, that was real. Catfish was real.
Really?
Yeah.
You think all of
it was real? Catfish was real.
He was on the up and up?
Yeah. Perhaps. Dumbo was clicked through. Maybe one of the saddest movies ever made. From Here to Eternity. That just came up a couple weeks ago. It was a great You know what? That's on the top 100 AFI top movies of all time.
I've not seen it.
And it's one of the only ones that I really did enjoy when I was going through and watching all of those in order. Hedwig Langrange. I'm not going to say that. James Bond Collection. Oh, I didn't say that. Raising Arizona. Roar. Robin Hood. Not going to say that. Not going to say that. Raid. Raid Redemption. The Town. Tin Cup. Tropic Thunder. Wild Tales. Fuck to the ass. Whiplash, Willard, Young Guns 2, Bridge of Spies, Ratatouille, Steve Jobs, and The Night Before.
I
Thanks,
feel like
guys,
you hustled through the movies
through.
A little too fast.
I
kind of
did because like I was trying to hit the post, and I apologize.
Giving him short shrift.
Young Guns 2 was clicked through, as well as Wild Tales, a movie that I was talking about momentarily before this here spot read.
Well done.
Wild Tales.
Okay.
That is an Anderson movie. That is Deadpool is to Brian.
And now,
back to the program.
Oh, hey there. My name's Anderson, and I'm the host of the popular podcast Cinema Dicks, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Yeah. Welcome back for Tattoo Talk on The Film Vault. Anderson, I feel like you have an advantage here.
Because I have tattoos?
Because you have tattoos. You spend time in tattoo parlors. How much time have you spent in tattoo parlors?
Not much. Most of mine were done by the same person who did it out of his living room and
really?
Let me drink and smoke
Sounds
while I got
unsanitary.
It was. They called him the Butcher of Venice.
That's not good.
Because he used to have homeless people in and he would give them burn tattoos. Wait, save more later on that.
Oh, my God.
He'd practice this burn tattoo on homeless people. Horrible man. Horrible
like
man.
Like branding?
Yeah. Ooh. It was a thing there for a while. Kind of still is in the in the African American community. They get the cauterized.
Yeah, I know the Omegas. Yeah. It's like Shaq.
There might be one of those on my list.
Really? Does branding count?
When I say those, I don't mean black people. I mean branding research. Tattoo.
No, there's definitely no black people on my list.
There could have been. I almost had Tyson on there for Tyson.
That's true.
He has a tattoo.
Oh, he has a big old face tattoo.
And then there's also a face tattoo in the old Hangover there. That's also Tyson related. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Okay. I could have done things like tattoo I would most like to have.
Okay.
And there actually is one here on the list that makes my six. Or I don't know how to put it on there. But it was the first one that came to mind. I couldn't find any freaking information. Could barely find stills of it. Still
really?
Don't really know what it is. But all I know is when I was watching Natural Born Killers, I really wanted that tattoo.
Is it on your list?
Kind of is, but I got six on my list
okay.
that are solid.
Because you can't find a lot of information about it?
Mickey Knox has one on his right shoulder, right like bicep, and it's like scribbly, scrobbly. And I always thought that it was like, it is. It's like an older adult man. It looks like it's kind of holding a child.
Oh, no.
But in looking at the stills of it, it looks like it might be Jesus, but it's scribbly. Like, imagine a child kind of doing scribbly. It's a great-looking tattoo. It's disturbing. And I love that movie so much, 1994's Natural Born Killers, at the time when it came out, that I wanted to get that tattoo at one point. Thank God I didn't.
Thank God you didn't.
It would be a horrible explanation every time.
Do you regret any of your tattoos?
No.
Good. No. I feel like some people do.
Regret my tattoos? That's
regret
nice.
Yours.
Yeah.
No, I mean they regret theirs. I mean, some people regret yours.
My really good friend, Derek, he's probably my best friend.
It's really too bad that Anderson got that.
I think he has autism a little bit, just a touch. And he looking at my arm the other day, he's like, you ever get sick of all that shit on your arm? I'm like, no, not really.
No, not until you mention it.
Yeah. All right, so that's not unofficial. So my other ones are fun and good.
Damn.
And enjoyable.
I wish I'd given Logan my unofficial one. One that I was from a movie I haven't
Do it.
Seen.
Go ahead.
It's better as an audio clip because it's the dude, where's my car scene.
Oh, sweet dude.
Sweet dude.
Dude, sweet.
It's pretty fucking funny. Mm-hmm. I've watched that clip multiple times.
Oh, why is it not on your list?
Yes, I haven't seen the movie and I feel like it's cheating.
You haven't seen that movie?
No.
Oh, I might be making an adjustment.
Oh,
does he get to pick for us this week?
Remember we tied.
Fuck.
We have the same number, 28 or 29 or something.
You make him, but that's
I wouldn't make you watch that one.
No, that's something that one. Brian would do to me. If roles
well,
were reversed right now.
I wouldn't make it because I think Brian wouldn't like it. I just don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste a turn.
Oh, absolutely. But you're thinking properly. If it was Brian
you
and I had not
like
seen
it, though.
If it was Brian and I had not seen it and he had seen it, he would definitely have me see it immediately.
Yeah. True. Have you seen it?
I've seen it. Yes. Let's make that abundantly clear. I have seen Dude, Where's My Car?
It's a pretty funny scene.
It's a very funny movie for you, Brian. You will like it.
Sweet!
I can't believe that you haven't seen it. You should have a poster. And ask Christy if you can have a poster of Dude, Where's My Car?
Ask Chris. I actually would have to ask her for that.
I probably would have had a poster of it in middle school had I had money to buy posters then.
Sure, a lot of people would have.
Times have changed. Logan's in the poster buying game.
Go, Brian.
Now your film.
No, your film. I just did an unofficial. So.
Well, I'll do official.
I got a controversial film about Nazi skinheads.
Oh, really?
On my list here, Brian.
Yeah, so do I.
Talking about a little movie from 1992.
Oh. What is it?
Romper Stomper.
Really?
Romper Stomper. Russell Crowe as Hondo. And he's got a, he sports a sweet tat on his arm. It's bone design. I realize going through this, like, it's hard to find clips and it's very visual. So yeah. I don't know how well it's going to translate, but I think it could conjure images and absolutely conjure memories. I don't know how often we talk about Romper Stomper. I know I brought it up on some iteration of this show.
That's another one.
I've talked about what?
I've not seen Romper Stomper.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, there you go.
And nor are you going to see it anytime soon. Evidently, it's very hard to come by.
Really?
Yeah. It's a movie about Nazi skinheads. It's Russell Crowe's breakthrough performance, if not one of his very first performances, way back in 1992. I remember seeing this, having no idea. I'd never seen Russell Crowe before. And it's a gritty movie, to say the least. Reminiscent of a little movie called American History X that came out some years later. But just look up a picture of how badass he looked. Racist or not, I
got to give it up for badass.
In another life, if I had another life to live and I had bare arms, and I did a lot of working out, I might think about getting some kind of version of this tattoo on my arm. It looks so sweet. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen it?
No.
The picture of Romper Stomper, of Hondo.
I heard you.
It's very similar also like on IMDb when you look this up. It says,
you're making yourself angrier.
Other people.
Romper Stomper.
People. Romper Stomper. Just a great name, too. It's a sympathetic Nazi. Okay.
Sure.
Hey, it's a different culture. It's Europe. All right.
Oh, so it's better?
I'm just saying it's different.
Okay.
Similar in tone to Chopper, except more serious and less comedy.
Okay.
Because I think we can all agree that Russell Crowe is not nearly as humorous.
He's not as hilarious.
As Eric Bana. This movie, though, is like you can buy discs of it. I think I saw the cheapest used one for $45. It's one of these. Jesus. It's out of print. It's not available for send away on Fuckflix, and it's not streaming anywhere, unfortunately.
What is the funniest
might
Russell
be on
Crowe's
YouTube
ever been?
Might be on YouTube, though. A lot of people would probably say when he was in Les Mis trying to sing, but I don't think he was trying to be funny.
It was very unintentionally.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure he's been funny somewhere, sometime.
Nothing jumping to mind. He seems like a very humorless guy.
He's angry. He throws phones at people.
Throws phones.
Yeah. I've seen some funny imitations of him.
Okay.
But that was satire by other people.
Yeah.
Has he been funny? Has he been?
Someone tweet us.
Wait, A Beautiful Mind. He was hilarious. Wait, no, he wasn't at all.
Funny at all, actually.
There's no humor there. All right, what's your pick? Maybe the most humorless actor since Marlon Brando.
Yeah, Christian Bale's been hilarious. I'm trying to think now.
Bale's fucking great.
There's other actors. Yeah, he's more funny than he's not.
That's why when I see him in anything, I'm just like, because you know me, I got to have at least a twinge of humor in everything I see, unless it's way overdone, like Deadpool.
Sure.
Yeah. Deadpool's just too much of what
there's
they thought.
There's a twinge of humor.
It was just, I'm not going to go down that road again. Sorry.
Hey, number five. Hey, speaking of...
Romper Stomper.
Sorry. Speaking of Edward Norton.
Whoa. He's in a movie about Nazi skinheads.
Edward Norton. I have a tattoo from Edward Norton.
Why would that be like one of your favorites, though?
1998. Rounders.
Oh, look at you.
Rounders!
You're trying to get all clever with your worm.
Lester Murphy, a.k.a.
We both did the same thing, Brian. That upsets me greatly. We both alluded to American History X, but had different picks for our number fives.
Worm, Rounders, is directed by John Dahl, written by Brian Koppelman. I sent Brian Koppelman a message on Twitter because I said, hey, Worm has a tattoo. Edward Norton has a tattoo that's an ace tattooed on his arm. It's up his sleeve. He's like, look, I got my ace up my sleeve because it's a movie about poker players. And he's not the most trustworthy of poker players, not the most trustworthy of people. And found an interview from Ed Norton at the time, said, quote, Norton, quote, I had the makeup artist make a tattoo of the ace of spades up my wrist because that's Worm's whole philosophy in life. Wait, because that's Worm's whole philosophy in life.
Stumbling.
Always keep an ace up your sleeve. And I'm like, I texted or sent a message to Brian Koppelman. I was the writer of the film. I said, was this not the original script? And his answer was, quote,
this is just one really long way of saying, hey, a writer, wrote and tweeted me back.
Said, Edward had the idea, pitched it to us. We all liked it and said, go for it. So Edward Norton is to credit for one of the all-time best tattoos in film.
Yes.
The ace up the sleeve.
Okay. I don't know if it's one of the all-time greats.
That's a great tattoo. If you're a poker player in a movie and you have an ace up your sleeve, that's pretty fucking awesome. Actually, in researching this, I found
it's a little bit too on the nose. I was looking, someone I know might say.
I was looking up. Yeah. I was looking up images of the tattoo. Found many, many images from professional poker players who have since imitated the tattoo. That's actually kind of dick. That's kind of lame, actually. But have since imitated that tattoo with Ace of the Sleeve.
Yeah, you know who does that? Same kind of person that would love Deadpool.
I don't know if that's true. Actually, no,
you know what? It's the same type of people that would like, what's that, Pool Hall Junkies that Logan's always trying to get us to watch?
I don't know. I actually saw that.
You did watch it, though.
I think we might have. It's one of those movies, just in and out. In one eye, out the other. You know what? Go ahead, Logs.
I'm good. Never mind.
I can't wait.
The Quick and the Dead. You know what? I think that Russell Crowe might have been funny in The Quick and the Because I remember that funny being that movie being very amusing.
Okay. You're actually looking up his filmography?
Absolutely. Sam Raimi's The Quick and the Dead.
Okay.
Do you see that?
I have not seen
it. Get out! Get the fuck out.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's enjoyable. Very enjoyable. One guy gets his head blown open and you see...
It's pretty funny.
You see like just really fun shots from Sam Raimi. It was back when Sam Raimi was still doing creative things before Hollywood sucked him into their web.
Spider-eyed.
Get it?
No, that's good, buddy.
Yeah, not bad. That's nice. There we go.
I can't wait to win gambling again so I can assign you Deadpool.
I've seen it, Brian.
I'm going to ask you detailed questions.
You could do that right now. I've seen it. I think I was telling you off the air. I saw it in a full house of nothing but critics. A lot of movie critics. Turns out that they're comic book nerds.
Turns out.
And I was one of the only people in the entire theater that was not thoroughly enjoying myself, except for that one moment where I laughed once. I was like, oh, this sucks. I thought that superhero landed.
Oh,
that wait for it. Spoke to me.
Gina Carano, were her lines dubbed?
She was underused, right?
I think that's for a reason.
She had like one line.
Yeah, I think she spoke on camera, not off camera, maybe once.
Where am I going here? Where am I going? There's so many places to go. Where am I going?
Number four.
I'm just going to go easy. This is easy. This is a layup, but it's fucking great. And little boy Andy, when he was watching Escape from New York, John Carpenter's Escape from New York, and he was watching Snake Plissken. Oh, boy, look at that. Look at that eye patch. I love Snake Plissken. I love Kurt Russell. Never did it occur to me, hey, the cobra coming out of his pants is kind of like representation of his dick. Never did I think about that.
No, you thought it was a snake.
1981.
He's obviously a snake charmer.
Escape from New York, Snake Plissken. That's a badass tattoo. Mm. And, you know, it kind of is synonymous with the character. You could actually just see that tattoo and think, hey, Snake Plissken. But because I was a dumb little kid, now I'm a dumb adult, but I was like, hey, dumb little kid. They call him Snake because he has a snake tattoo.
Yeah. On his belly.
He was probably a hardcore lover, you know, when he wasn't escaping from Manhattan.
It was on his belly, right?
It was coming out of his pants, essentially.
But like down by towards his knee. Not like down towards his knee.
That would be awful if he was like wearing cutoff. Well, first of all, he's wearing long pants throughout the movie. Really if he was like point. Wearing cutoff that's shorts, really cutoff jeans.
To show off his tat.
And his tat. Oh, that's not a bad tat,
not
though.
A bad idea.
You know what people are going to think, though? They'd see it. It's just probably from far away. It looks like diarrhea. Just coming down your leg.
You got something on your... oh, it's supposed to be there.
We're not a diarrhea show. What am I doing?
Why would you say that?
I'm sorry. But it's true. That's what people think.
It's a good point.
That guy's pooping himself. Snake Plissken's Cobra, 1981. Cobra coming out the pants.
Well done. Not all of mine are badass. In fact, some of mine are funny, and one of mine is more meaningful / symbolic than badass. It's on a little girl. I'm talking about Enola, played by Tina Majorino in Waterworld.
Oh, not bad.
She's got the big map on her back.
Not bad.
Big map to dry land.
A very important plot point.
Very important part
of
the film. Yeah. Apparently, I looked this up on the old internet there, the filmmakers got some key details wrong about the map.
Ooh.
First, in the movie, the world is a gulp. If you don't know the fucking plot of Waterworld.
Wait, are you like on IMDb, the part where it's like goofs?
No, this was on.
Because I never
this was on like
on
a
that.
Random website. So,
you ever go on there?
About tattoos, actually.
Okay, cool.
I actually look up the trivia. I look up trivia.
I love trivia.
The
trivia is great. Like, did
never
you know?
Goofs.
No. The goofs, like, every now and again, just click on that, and it's just people.
And a lot, of,
the,
yeah, a lot of times, it's like.
Like, he said what yeah, instead of when?
His top button was buttoned in one scene, and then the next, you're like, all right.
Yeah, with the continuity relax. Editing, the people just go pages and pages of it. It's like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing with your life? Yeah. Stop bitching about the minor mistakes.
And who sees one? It's like, I got to run to IMDb. I got to report this.
If you look in any movie, you're going to find continuity issues. It's impossible to avoid. Huh? Unless you have three cameras going simultaneously at all times.
Or is any movie filmed in real time? But there's no continuity mistakes.
Time.
Buried.
What's it called? Michael Figg's movie.
Time Code.
Time Code. I never saw it.
But there's no
four screens going.
And Buried.
I bet. Oh, Buried? Mm-hmm. I bet there is. I'm sure there are.
Let's look up. Look, go look
what
up
about
Goofs.
Victoria?
Victoria?
Yeah.
It's one take movie.
Right, but it's in real time.
Yeah, it's all one take.
I guess, yeah, if we're discussing editing. And
but yeah,
there's
no editing. There, but can you look up, though, real quick, and Buried and the Goofs and
See how many mistakes there are in the
If there's any continuity issues.
So the
Have you seen Victoria? I need to see that.
No, it's like at the top of my list. As soon as it comes out on DVD, I'm going to check it out.
Mixed reviews.
No goofs in Leviathan.
That's nothing but a goof. Good call, though, Brian. Yeah. Brian's talking about not the Leviathan from the 80s. Anyways.
I'm talking about the documentary that was tough to watch.
Yes. I liked it very much.
If you've not seen Waterworld, it's about a world. The world has been flooded with water.
It's Mad Max at sea.
Yes, and they're looking for dry land, mythical dry land. And there's a mythical young girl who has it tattooed on her back, a map to dry land. Apparently, the filmmakers got some key details wrong about the map. First of all, it's supposed to be in Chinese, but there's at least one Japanese character in there, which could be considered racist. Translated, it gives degrees, but no coordinates, i.e. there's no east, north, west, south.
Right.
So it could be any one of four places on the globe, all equally far apart from each other.
You just have to, you know,
so just start going.
Yeah.
Start going in a circle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that said, it's pretty sweet.
What do they call that? I'm drawing a total blank on that. You know, you just keep trying it until, like, you find it. Trial and error. Thank you, buddy.
Buried has 13 goofs reported on IMDb.
Any of them?
Eight of them are continuity.
Yes. Wow. See, damn. Just because it's in one location, one character, in a box under the ground, doesn't mean you can't have fuck-ups. Especially when there's snakes involved.
Okay.
Spoiler!
Number three for you.
And it's not a tattoo on his belly.
You just spoiled a big part of the movie.
Eh, what are you going to do? No one's going to remember that. We've talked about a lot of shit on this movie.
What are you going to do?
Where do I go? All right, you know what? I'm doing it.
I like your narrative. Here we go. Your thoughts.
A little movie came out, Brian. 1996.
Yeah, it did.
It's called The Frighteners. Frighteners is a movie that I love.
I saw The Frighteners in theaters.
Yeah? Yeah, so did I. I'll never forget. I recommended The Frighteners. You ever do this?
Michael J. Fox shaking all over the place.
It's a long story, and the circumstances are very involved and detailed, which I'm not going to get into. But it was at camp, and I was staying in a cabin with, like, the drama coach at the camp that session. He's kind of a dick. Yeah. But I had a broken back, and I was on a lot of pain meds. And I had just seen The Frighteners, and he was like, hey, have you seen any good movies? I'm like, The Frighteners is really fun. It's not a serious movie, but I really, really enjoyed it. And he went to see it, like, later that night because he was allowed to leave camp, which, anyways, long story short, the next day, he's talking about it might have been later that night. He's talking about The Frighteners right in front of me to someone else. Talking about what a horrible movie it was. There was nothing enjoyable about it, and it just sucked through and through. And he just nitpicked.
Passive aggressive.
And I'm like, I'm standing right
here.
He
knew right you could
here.
Hear.
Yeah. Oh, what a I still hate him so much. I still think about him every now and then. Every time I see The Frighteners, like, anything about The Frighteners comes up, I think about that guy's face, and I want to punch it. Anyways, The Frighteners. The scene that I'm talking about stars a man named Jeffrey Combs, who you might know as the star of Reanimator, Brian, all the Reanimators.
Okay.
He plays a great character named Milton Dahmers in The Frighteners. You recall him? He was like the detective, the very oddball, Hitler-esque detective with the black glove. And
not dead.
What's that?
Not dead. Not one of the dead characters.
He's not one of the dead characters at that point. There
are ghosts in the movie.
Right, you just cut me. My body is a roadmap to pain. Do you remember that line?
No.
Oh, it's so memorable.
I saw it once in the theaters in 1996.
It's where there's a pivotal moment with this character where he makes a switch. This is a really good movie, guys. You should have seen it already. And Ed, this is a point in the movie which might give a little something away. It's not streaming anywhere, so the chances of you seeing this immediately are slim. But it involves him supermaning his chest, right? And you see, because he's a straight and narrow, very intense. You've seen Boardwalk Empire, most of you have. Michael Shannon's character, kind of similar to that kind of a character, where he's evil, but he's like on the right side of the law, but you can tell there's something off about him. The actor Jeffrey Combs put a lot into his character. He's the one who suggested to Peter Jackson. I should say Peter Jackson also directed this before his Lord of the Rings and Hobbit obsession. Well, he was obsessed then, but he wasn't making those movies yet. But he suggested that he have a Hitler-like haircut. He'd put in some kind of things behind his ears to make his ears stick out a little bit strangely. And he also came up with a lot of the chest tattoos as well as burn marks that make up his chest, which he reveals when he screams out, "My body is a roadmap of pain!" And he supermans his chest. And you're like, holy shit, I never saw this coming. It's pretty great. And there's some awesome tattoos there. Helter Skelter is one of them. Pentagrams, half burnt. It looks like he's been tortured quite a bit, and he gets off on it.
Jeffrey Combs.
Self-flogging. Yes.
That's him.
Jeffrey Combs. Anyway, so that's number three for me.
Okay.
It's The Frighteners, 1996.
I got to go back and revisit that one.
It's really fun.
It's been 20 years.
And you know what? I think it might even be more fun now.
No, 30.
30 years settled down. No, it's not 30 years.
Sorry, kind of.
I think it might be more fun today than it was even back then. Yeah. Michael J. Fox, you know, and the CGI still stands up. It's got, what's his fuck?
That you can't say about a lot of movies made in 1996.
Jake Busey.
Buse. Right?
Jake Busey, yeah. Got me a count of 12. It's a cute little story, but it's dark, too. It's fun. You ever seen The Frighteners, Logan? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it was a little dark for, I think, the mainstream. I don't think it was a huge hit, but it was a clever movie.
Drama teachers at cancer camps didn't like it either.
Number three for me. Speaking of dark. Hey, I don't know if you... this is a real life tattoo.
My body is a roadmap of pain.
Any of your tattoos in real life?
This one is right here. That's okay. My dog Stanley's paw.
I meant
Stanley's
for me a list, actually. They're on my list.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck.
Steve-O?
No.
Jackass the movie?
Not bad, though. The balls?
No, when he gets it in the moving in the off-road off-road tattoo.
Yeah, but doesn't he refers to them as balls. He says it looked like testicles.
Oh, yeah, the smiley face? Yeah. He's running a smiley face. It's a... Steve-O has many tattoos on his body, including a life-size, larger than life? Life-size image of
larger
himself.
Larger than life, yeah.
On his back.
Thumbs up with his face.
Yeah, dude, I rock. Mm-hmm. Steve-O describes this one by director Jeff Tremaine from Jackass the Movie 2002. It says, quote, Jeff Tremaine got licensed by the state of California as a body artist because that's the only way the Jackass the Movie could include him tattooing me in the backseat of a Hummer while off-roading through a motor track in the desert driven by Henry Rollins. Mm-hmm. And he gets a tattoo while going over a very rough, very bumpy moto track, and it is a very sloppy tattoo.
Pretty wacky and zany.
It's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Seeing the guy get an actual real tattoo while going through the moto course. Mm-hmm. It's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
You don't feel the same enthusiasm?
Yeah, it's a documentary. It's not even... It's like a TV show.
You think it's
show.
A documentary?
It's a TV show. Yeah, absolutely. It's documenting their jackass behavior.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. I thought about that one.
Logs?
I agree with that.
Okay. We're going to break here.
Break time!
We should have, you know what would be really fucking awesome is if we had like some kind of tattoo parlor as a sponsor this week.
That'd be that'd be great. That'd be Stick tag. Around and see if we do. Yeah. New sponsor, everyone.
Nuts.
Nuts.com.
Nuts.com.
Yes. Anderson.
It's a simple and convenient way to have nutritious, delicious, healthy nuts and so many other tasty treats from around the world, Brian, delivered straight to your door.
I should know.
Over 50 different options they got. And I see you got a box of nuts in front of you.
I got a box
right
of
now.
Nuts.
Why did I not know about this?
Because you were away seeing Ween and I was ordering nuts for the whole show.
I was seeing Ween. You were getting nuts. Look at this.
Please describe.
Ween and nuts.
Please describe.
Nuts is a very simple bag with a little peanut man wearing a hat with the N insignia on it.
It says on the back
it goes
what
for
it is.
Nuts. And this is a 1929 Poppy Soul started a small nut shop.
No, just read what it is.
It doesn't say. It says nuts.com is what it is.
Right here, buddy. Come on. This is how you know we don't plan this stuff out.
Okay. I got a little orange, very simple bag filled with nuts. This one's vanilla light and crunchy granola.
There's so much more than nuts. I went on their website. Nuts is literally a fraction of what they have. They have tons of stuff. Granola.
Hickory smoked almonds. That's a nut. Barbecue peanuts. Yeah. Nut. Honey roasted peanuts. Well, that's... What is this? Turkish figs.
They have everything.
What is Turkish figs?
There's an insane amount of... Christy was not feeling too well. I got her some candied ginger. They have candied ginger.
Gingers?
Ginger. No, they don't sell ginger. Those are redheaded people. They sell candied ginger. So, guys, we're going to try all this stuff. We'll give you our honest opinion, but honestly, I've already... Anderson, you can see the granola's already been
opened.
Yeah,
I see you've already pawed through a lot of this stuff.
Christy has already asked me to refill her on the ginger.
There's over 50 different options to choose from, and you can get 4 free samples right now. That's a $15 value, Brian. When you go to nuts.com, click on the mic, and enter code TFV.
TFV at nuts.com. Go to nuts.com for full details. We'll try all this stuff. We'll let you know. But so far, off to a good start at nuts.com.
Brian.
What's up, buddy?
True story. I just got back from Denver.
Okay.
I was talking to a friend of mine who she loves reading magazines.
Okay.
Told her all about Texture.
Oh, yeah? What'd she say?
She had never heard about it.
What?
She signed up for it while we were having lunch.
That's a great idea.
She was pumped. She really was. That's a true story.
Texture is a legit service where if you waste money on impulse buys with magazines at the grocery store, which we all do, we're at the checkout stand, standing there behind someone with a bunch of groceries, and you're just sitting there waiting your turn.
The wife did it on her way back when we were on the plane to come back.
$7
She bought like a U.S. magazine, and I wagged my finger and went, Texture.
Yeah. For the one price, you can get access to pretty much every magazine, certainly the ones you're going to find at the grocery store. If you go to texture.com/TFE, you get a free trial right now, and... Guys, it's mind-boggling. They give us a list of all the magazines, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, well, that's I've heard of that one, I've heard of that one, I've heard of that one, not heard of that one. It's every magazine I've heard of, and many, many, many I have not heard of. Check it out. Everything you'd possibly want, pretty much, is at texture.com. Use the code TFE to try it for free right now at texture.com/TFE. Yeah, welcome back. Chewing into the microphone is never a good idea, but then again, nuts.com, pretty good.
We're not doing that, though.
We're not. We'll seal these up.
Furiously choked them down seal before we came up. Back.
They're quite delicious, actually.
All right, stop.
The read's over.
Yes. All right, here we go. Top twos. Whose turn
tattoos.
Is it?
I can't remember. Tattoo, tattoos.
It's good, Brian.
You.
Really good.
You first.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's not me. It's
you
never
started.
Me first.
You started. But do you want to go last?
So, mine's so strong.
Okay, well,
to end so strong.
But we have the same one.
Got to end strong.
We have to have one crossover.
All right, go ahead.
I haven't had it yet.
Dude, make your joke. Make it.
Edward Norton, American History X. Number
done.
Two.
Brian loves his swastikas.
There are he wears many Nazi-related insignias. He has a barbed wire armband. He has a Derek Vineyard, that is the character played by Edward Norton in American History X. An eagle carrying a swastika on his upper right arm, an iron cross with the words "White Power" on his lower forearm, DOC, Disciples of Christ, on his back, and snarling dogs at reach shoulder blade, like pit bulls, like a snarling at you. But it's the giant, bold Nazi swastika on his upper left pectoral muscle. That is best remembered. Iconic. And it's also a reminder of his wayward past when he mends his ways.
Hey, Brian.
Wayward.
Why do you got to tell me about how it ends?
Oh, you think that's a spoiler? I think you're out of the spoiler game, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
You're willy-nilly.
I'm sitting over here a little silent because I'm wondering if I should say these things.
What's your say?
All right, so I think it's widely known that the Nazis, fuckheads that they are, just stole the swastika from the Native Americans.
I thought it was from the Chinese. Is it from Native Americans?
Might be Chinese as well.
I think it's Chinese.
It's been around
but
for
you
a
know
while.
What? I don't know.
I know that it's part of the Native American culture.
Logan, does half of you know?
Logan,
talk about the idea? I'm talking about the Nazi part.
No, I don't.
Okay.
And it's amazing how they made something that, you know, it's symmetrical and it's actually a good looking little simple.
It's beautiful.
Like Brian.
What?
But I'm saying they did forever vilified that thing, which could have been. And it's funny too, because like I'll see it like in like my dad used to have this old sweater that he'd wear a lot of with buttons.
With the big swastika.
No, Brian. And it had like the leather buttons, and I've seen it on other people. It's like a style of button, leather button, where like it comes to a cross in the middle, and then when it gets old, it starts to fray a little bit, and it looks just like swastika.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, bad news.
I just pointed it out just the other day, and somebody was horrified. I'm like, you realize it? Like it looks like a giant swastika on your button there in the middle of your cordigan.
Must repair.
Number two for me.
Okay.
This is an actual tattoo.
The Nazis fucked up a lot of things. The two lightning bolts. You know what I mean?
I think that you can still get away with that because Kiss does.
Know.
Kiss gets away with it.
Oh, that's a good point. Mm.
The skulls.
Uh-huh. What's the other? A little mustache. That's bad. That's pretty much gone.
That's
pretty much gone.
You know what's funny? It's not really funny. Never mind.
The hand up salute. That's gone too.
You still do it.
I do, but I'm trying to bring it back.
Brian, number two for me. It's a little movie I had called 1987. It's when the Coen brothers. Did this one. Raised in Arizona. You got it on your list?
No.
You got Raised in Arizona on
no.
your list?
I wonder if our number one's going to be the same for second week in a row.
H.I. McDonough, played by one Nicolas Cage. One of my favorite, if not my favorite, Nicolas Cage performance ever. That and Vampire's Kiss right there on par for me. God, I love those two. But what I'm talking about is his Peckerwood tattoo, Brian, which is a real life tattoo that he actually has on his right bicep, I believe.
Really?
It's a Peckerwood tattoo. And it's like Woody Woodpecker. And it's actually a prison tattoo. That lets everyone know that you're white, which is kind of funny that you got to have a tattoo to let people know.
Yeah.
You know?
What else could let them know?
I wonder if Michael Jackson could have one at Peckerwood by the end. What if he
would have
been allowed. But
he could have gone away with it.
This is essentially like a toned down swastika that I don't know why Nicolas Cage has it, but he does. And in the movie, there is a battle sequence between H.I., played by Nicolas Cage, and Leonard Smalls, played by Randall Tex Cobb. And the two of them are in the heat of battle. Not really much of a battle. H.I. is getting his ass kicked. And there's this one little really funny moment. And it's so subtle and so quick. And H.I. looks down and he sees that Leonard Smalls has the exact same Peckerwood tattoo. And there's this moment of like, oh,
I forgot
what is
that.
This? It's so great. It's just such a great sequence. It's a great movie. I love it so fucking much.
Clearly.
I just want to watch it right now. I just want to sit down and enjoy myself a little Raised in Arizona.
I think, is it streaming?
I looked. I couldn't find it streaming. None of my goddamn movies this week are streaming or readily available. But guys, and it takes some heat. Some people give some shit to Raised in Arizona. People call it a hipster movie, and so it's just so great.
I don't find it as funny as everyone else does, but I can recognize
it's
a funny
smart.
Movie. And that's probably a big reason.
But a lot of people have suggested that perhaps this means that Leonard Smalls and H.I. are related, or maybe even Leonard Smalls is his actual father.
Oh.
You know, a lot of speculation out there. I think it's just a little just quirky, a silly throwaway moment. Coen's brothers decided to put something in there that they had something in common, despite the fact that they were so different everywhere else.
I can see that.
Everywhere else. That's happened. You know, I've been in like the heat of battle. I've gotten into fights with people, and then like along the while we find a common hate or
you
something.
You saw they had a giant snake wrapped around their arm.
I'm like, hey, I didn't see that before until I ripped your shirt off in the fit of your fury.
Until I pulled your sweater over your head and started beating you like a hockey player.
It is a great moment, though, where you're just like, hey, look at that. We have the exact same tattoo. Yeah. 1987's raised in Arizona. The Peckerwood tattoo.
How many ween tattoos did you see over the weekend?
Not many, because it was cold in Denver.
Oh, it's
cold. Oh, God. The goddamn Grateful Dead fanship has really taken over the ween.
I thought they'd go to fish.
They go fish, they go ween, they go black crows
a
little.
They disperse.
And when you go to see them in Denver, there's a lot of wooks out there. A lot of wookies.
That was a wook.
That's what they call the big, like, fat, dreaded stoner Grateful Dead guys.
I didn't know that.
Here's what's great about ween, though. You guys ever heard of The Miracle? Which is like a Grateful Dead thing, getting like a free ticket. It's called getting a miracle. No. And people wander around with one finger up going, got a miracle? Anyone got a miracle? Because it's a bunch of fucking stinky hippies that are looking for free shit, right?
Got money.
Anyone got a miracle? There's even an app for it with the blue finger, blue hand with the one finger up. Really? And Ween, part of them, especially Dean Ween, who's like the punk rock guy in the band, I think he's so tired of the hippie contingent that follows Ween. They had a shirt at this show that sold out, unfortunately. I was going to get it. And it's the exact same blue finger hand nice. On the shirt, except it's the middle finger wearing a ween ring. It's so great.
Pretty good.
Fuck you, Wooks. All right, here we go.
Number one for me.
I met some very nice listeners out there that approached me and said hello, and a few emails afterwards saying, was that you that I saw at the ween show? I was terrified to come
probably
say
was,
hi.
Probably was. Number one. I would not be surprised if we had crossover because
I saw After Disaster shirts too. Sorry,
at the Ween,
I saw
at the
two
Ween show?
After Disaster shirts. No. Yeah,
that was a beacon. That was a beacon to you.
Mm-hmm. I had a few drinks in me. I almost reached out, but then
you
I didn't. No, fuck no. No,
that was clearly to signal you.
I know, but no, I'm not doing that.
What person in their right mind would wear an After Disaster t-shirt? It wasn't trying to signal you.
If I was with a chick and I was trying to impress her, I would have reached out and been like, "See that dude in the middle? That's me." But I did not do that. No, go ahead.
Number one, it's got to be your number one. How could it not be on your list?
It's not.
Sin Nombre.
Oh, shit.
Sin Nombre.
I thought you were going to forget.
It's so great. No, it's so great.
God damn it.
Do you have a specific one? Because I do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Lil Mago.
Oh, Lil Mago is all about it. With this played by Tenoch Huerto Mejia, who's a Mexican-born actor. Mm. He's a leader of the Tapachula faction of the Mara Savachula gang.
The MS gang.
And the MS-13. And that
they have multiple sclerosis.
Tattoo, Brian. That tattoo. If you have not yet seen Sin Nombre, we're not going to give anything away.
Sin Nombre's pretty great.
But you got to watch this movie. You got to see it. And when you see him show up, when you see the main leader of MS-13, of that faction of the gang show up with his massive MS-13, he is one of the most scary characters you'll ever see.
Imagine printing it out on legal paper at the letters MS in bold and then saying, put this,
from
literally this size,
the top wrinkle on my forehead down to my chin. So he has a giant M on one, and then an S, and then a little 13, and he has other little cute, just to round it out.
Oh, that's not the only tattoo.
His face is all tatted up.
The only tattoo? That'd be fucking bold.
So I was obsessed with this guy, because part of me really wanted it to be real. Yeah. I wanted this to be the real life, real deal, and I was a little disappointed to see that they put it on for the movie, but it looks great. It looks very real. And MS-13, Sin Nombre, Kari Fukunaga.
Fukunaga.
My number one.
The hand and the face tattoos had to be washed off the same day they were applied because number one, apparently I didn't understand why this is, but they couldn't copy existing tattoos because there were rights issues. I guess if you're the artist who makes the tattoo, you have some rights over it. I don't know about that. Uh-huh. Or because if you're the identifying person with the tattoo, then that could be copying
I think also they were just a little bit worried.
That's the other thing, because apparently, according to Kari Fukunaga, one of the actresses was having a cigarette off set while they were in Veracruz, which she shouldn't have been doing. And a local pulled up in front of her with a machete and got out in front of her, and she like ran off back to the set. Because if people see the guys we were talking about earlier, the autodefensas. The guys are like, get the fuck out of our town. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, some guy showed up with a machete, like, beat it.
Yeah. Beat it, MS.
Yeah.
Even though you don't want to say beat it to MS, because Jesus Christ, it's one of the most horrifying.
Coming back to you.
But Sin Nombre, just a really good movie. It means no name, without a name.
The Unnamed.
And 2009, and it was streaming for the longest time. Do you remember the story about how I found this one?
No.
purely on accident.
I remember that legendary tale that everyone talks about.
Logs, I see you're reaching for things.
I was going to say, you had gotten like a free disc and a DVD player or something like that?
I was like buying like a surround sound DVD Blu-ray player, and I kept going for the open box because I was trying to save a buck or two over here. You know what? The wife wasn't real pleased with me getting surround sound. And I kept getting broken open fucking boxes from Best Buy because they're not really good at inspecting their shit.
Right.
And one box, the guy just slid everything on his coffee table back in the box and took it back. And I was using this one weird disc that was from Netflix, Fuckflix, and it said Sin Nombre. It was like some Mexican movie, and I just popped it in to test it. And I'm like and there's no sound coming out because it's broken again, right? Broken again. This is the third one that I bought.
And it's a refurbed one, too.
That's why. It's broken all the time. So it's like 2009, I think 2010. And I remember just looking and being furious that it wasn't working, but I was the opening sequence because Cary Fukunaga he began as a DP, he was a cinematographer first, and just the opening shot. I don't know if you remember, but the beautiful wallpaper and the kid sitting in his room, and it's just and I'm like, what is this movie?
What if it was like a grassroots campaign by Cary Fukunaga?
That would be really great. They just did it in open boxes.
Yeah. Like, you just get Anderson to see this movie.
He just bought a bunch of crap at Best Buy and returned it with the movie in it.
He was wearing an After Disaster T-shirt.
When I finally got a system that worked, that was the first one that I watched on it, and I was fucking blown away. And I remember whatever we were doing Film Vault at the time, I remember coming in and ranting and raving about it. Here's how much I loved it, Brian.
That was 2009.
It was a Fuckflix movie. Here's how much I loved it.
Mm. You bought it.
I put it in the envelope and sent it back. I wanted more people to be able to see it. You know what I mean?
That's nice.
And most people would be like, I'm going to keep this fucker. I can watch it whenever. I'm like, no, I want to make sure it stays in circulation.
You need to stay in the world.
I never heard of it before. And that was a really fantastic way of discovering Fukunaga, who's gone on to do good things.
What else he done? Mm-hmm. What else he done? I'll tell my head, I can't remember.
You kidding me?
I can't. Why tell me? Maybe I'm being drawn a blank.
I have no idea.
Come on.
True Detective. He's mainly known for that one. And he also did Beasts of No Nation.
This is not television.
Which was on Fuckflix. And Idris Elba should have been nominated for Best Actor. That's why the African community might have African-American community might have a gripe. Well, it's an African movie. That's
Isn't it weird that we've been seeing more attention for Straight Outta Compton not getting a nomination?
Well, Idris Elba, Beast of No Nation, didn't get as much love because it was Netflix at the same day that it came out in theaters, so it wasn't nearly as big a movie. But he was fucking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. A sergeant or whatever. Mm-hmm. God, he was great.
I wouldn't know. I don't watch TV. You want to do the
fucking movie, Brian, and you need to watch it.
You want to do the listeners after the break?
Yeah, we'll do it after the break.
Let's do that.
Fukunaga, right. Known for his long takes. I've gone on and on about episode 4 of True Detective Season 1.
Sin Nombre, pretty great. Check it out if you get a chance. Come up next, the listener top 5, our honorable mentions, and some gambling.
Brian, imagine being able to just work whenever you want. Just turn on the work. Just turn it on.
Not be on the clock.
I was driving.
You have to clock in, clock out.
I was driving all over Denver and exclusively with Uber.
Oh, I'm going to spring training next month. And the last few trips Christy and I have made, we don't rent a car anymore. It's just all Uber all the time.
Uber. I was taking an Uber from LAX just last night to home. Talked to my driver the whole time. He couldn't be happier with driving for Uber.
Oh, yeah? Well, you can too if you want to. Start enjoying the flexibility of working when you want and earning extra money on your schedule. Sign up to Drive with Uber today. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Drivewithuber.com. Make some extra money in your spare time. I've actually seen stories about guys who do this full time. Like, it's their gig. They have a car, and their car is their work.
Just last night, I was actually fantasizing about like everything falling apart and me driving for Uber, and I kind of liked my fantasy.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah.
No more you.
All right, be like Anderson. Go to drivewithuber.com.
That's drivewithuber, UBER.com. All right, Brian, we know that there's a number of build-your-own-website companies out there, right? Everyone's got to have their own website.
I have heard about one or two in the past.
Well, this one is called Weebly.
Weebly?
Now, what makes Weebly different than the rest?
Please tell me.
Well, A, you don't have to be a web designer. You don't have to know how to write code or read code or do any of the code. It's like my mom could do this.
Plus,
if you get stuck, 24/7 service.
Customer support.
Customer support. You call them up. They're going to help you. They're going to walk you through it.
There's going to be someone there via chat or via phone. That's actually the big thing that separates them from all the others is you're going to get a person to help you at some point.
Any kind of hiccup you come across, which, you know, essentially at some point, you're probably going to need a little helping hand there.
And let's be honest, a lot of people, making a website aren't doing it between the hours of 9 and 5. They're doing it in their spare time. They're doing it in their free time. They're doing it in off hours.
Round the clock. If your Denny's is open, so is Weebly.
Check it out, weebly.com/TFE. That's W-E-E, two E's, B-L-Y, Weebly.com/TFV, Weebly.com.
You get the free start if you put in the TFV. They give you a free start so you can get started over there with the TFV and the little promo code.
Do we mention TFV?
Oh, you know what it is? TFV.
TFV. Words, baby. Words. Yep. Welcome back. Time for some also rants. I'll also hear the listener top five for a top five tats. Logan, this with some listener top five.
Yeah. 1 second. Pulling it up.
I think I got a lot of things to do.
All right. We actually have a four-way tie for number four.
Really?
Oddly enough. So 4A, Raising Arizona.
There you go.
4B would be Dude, Where's My Car? Yeah. The Dude and Sweet tattoo.
Raising Arizona was on there. Five. Yeah. Wow.
4C would be Jackass, the movie, the Steve-O smiley face tattoo.
It's tactical.
And 4D is Nikolai, played by Viggo Mortensen in Eastern Promises.
Yep.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Covered in tats.
Covered. Looks like such a badass.
Number three, Francis Dolarhyde, played by Ralph Fiennes in Red Dragon.
That's Francis Dolarhyde, played by Ralph Fiennes.
Stop it.
Yeah, he has a crazy, scary tattoo. And the part of the movie, it was almost on my list.
Very detailed.
The part where he reveals it is quite terrifying. Yeah. Poor Philip Seymour Hoffman dies fake before he dies real.
Hey.
Sorry.
Brian.
Oh, I was just trying to make a joke.
Number two, George Clooney's tattoo in From Dusk Till Dawn.
You know what? Badass tattoo. It doesn't age that well. Which looking one? Back on Which it, one? Dusk one? Till Dawn, George Clooney.
Oh, that was almost on my list. I took it off
George,
today.
To that point, I knew George Clooney as that annoying doctor with the gray hair on ER. And then when I saw him in this role, I had to go see it despite his involvement. I was like, fuck that George Clooney guy. I hate him. And I'm like, oh my God. Gecko?
Seth Gecko.
Gecko is such a... Seth Gecko?
Seth Gecko.
Such a badass.
Yeah.
Such a badass.
He has the little
goes all the
flames
way the
poking out over his collar.
Like black tribal.
Well, it looks, it appears, for the majority of the movie, it appears to be flames. And then when, or something like that. But then when he takes his shirt off later, it's like, oh no, goes all the way down his sleeve.
That's right.
Pretty badass.
And the number one tattoo, as voted on by our listeners, is the Memento tattoo.
Yeah, thank God, because you know that's the most, not the most obvious, but that it deserves.
Demands to be mentioned.
I can't believe that it wasn't on Brian's list, because he loves Memento, and it was very clever. It was a very clever tool used in the movie that actually was a massive part of the entire plot of the film.
Yeah.
For him to get vengeance, which he could not remember as to why he needed it because of his memory issues.
And he had to tattoo notes to himself on his body so he could remember past his little short-term problems.
Also on my list, Brian, Papillon.
Flower. I've seen Papillon. Can I tell you, Papillon arrived on disc and I sent it back without watching
you
it?
You dick.
I know.
You dick.
Well, I think it's because you assigned something to me.
Steve McQueen with the butterfly on his chest and Papillon. Gigi Allen in Hated. Lots of fun ones there.
Do you have tattoos?
Lots of prison tattoos and tattoos that you give yourself in your own living room. I think my favorite was a lie. I think it just said live fast, die.
That's good.
Got Eastern Promises on there as well as Snatch. Brad Pitt with Snatch.
Snatch.
He's got the like little cats with the That's top right. hats on the either
only,
shoulder.
The only problem is they fade towards the end of the movie.
And a lot of religious iconography. Well, he's doing a lot of sweating and bleeding. Indeed. Buffalo Bills and Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. He had some fun ones.
He had like the Jesus Christ piercing on his...
as though he had been stabbed by, who was it? Pontius Pilate? Who stabs Jesus.
I think it was actually just a.
Pontius is just the one that right. Pontius, Roman dick.
Pontius. No, he washed his hands of the whole affair. That's where you get washing your hands of it.
Val Kilmer had a fucking sweet one in the back in Salton Sea. Yeah. Giant Grim Reaper piece on his back, looming over like a swamp that was Salton Sea. Beautiful. How do you not talk about Robert De Niro on Cape Fear?
Yeah, Max Cady.
Max Cady.
Yeah, pretty great.
Same with.
Max and Mad Max have some tattoos? Wasn't he tattooed with like some information or with like his blood type or something?
Yeah, they tattooed his blood type on him once they figured out that he was universal. Blood bag.
Yeah.
Place me on the pines, Brian. Ryan Gosling's tatted all the way up and down. Sure. Of course, Memento's on there. Here's one that I had not heard of from 19... I'd come across because I've looked at Rod Steiger's full list a number of times, but I had not seen images or known much about The Illustrated Man. 1969's The Illustrated Man. Rod Steiger, a scary man to begin with. He is half naked, and many of the shots that I saw of this movie is covered in tattoos. So I look forward to tracking that one down, as well as Night of the Hunter from 1955. Robert Mitchum has love and, I believe, hate on his other hand. 1955, that's badass.
Yeah, that's
You don't
school.
Have knuckle tats back then.
Yeah,
Robert Mitchum, who was also, to tie it all together, the original Max Cady, right?
And, Max Cady.
Cady in Cape Fear, the original Cape Fear.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good call. Most of my also-rans got mentioned. Ishmael from Kingpin has a great tattoo. The knuckle tattoo is the Blues Brothers, Jake and Elwood.
Nope.
Yep. The barcode in 12 Monkeys, their barcode, the prisoners good, are barcode tattoos. And then Darth Maul. Oh. Darth Maul in episode one.
Weren't there some sweet tattoos in Minority Report on the fucks that could see the future?
I don't. I think they were like pure. I think believe they were tattooed. Right.
Hold
on.
Wow.
Also, in the upcoming Suicide Squad, the Joker.
Stop it, Brian. We don't talk about movies that haven't come out as on your list as also-ran or anything else. You can't do that.
That's why it's an also-ran.
Seth Rogen has a tattoo in Fanboys of Jar Jar Binks on his back.
I saw that in my research.
Which he got before the movie came out.
I have not seen Fanboys.
Boondock Saints?
Yeah, not bad. When they put them together, makes a little...
Danny Trejo and Desperado?
That's
Danny
real.
Danny Trejo and everything. Yeah.
Keanu That's Reeves and Constantine has the two tattoos that come together when he puts his forearms together.
Mm-hmm. Of course he does.
Hangover 2, the face tattoo. Yep. Once We Were Warriors. Christian Bale and Rain of Fire.
Oh my God, Warrior.
And Waterboy.
Oh yeah, Warrior.
Tom Hardy and Warrior. God Tatted. Damn, he looks fucking awesome with his tats and Warrior.
Yeah.
He's a quiet, broody man in Warrior. Not a great movie, but Tom Hardy brings it home.
It's a good movie. It's above average.
What? No. It's like Warrior? It's a Disney sports film.
Stop it.
Which was if Disney sports films were races of people, I would be an open bigot.
Well, thank God they're not.
Mm-hmm. Also, Andy Samberg's tattoo in that Adam Sandler movie with New Kids on the Block, where it's all warped.
Oh,
he got
yeah,
really young.
I forgot about that. That's my boy. You know what? That was the one that was tickling my brain. I'm like, there's a really funny one and a really dumb comedy. What is it? And I couldn't find any. It wasn't on any list that I looked up or any research. That was the one, Logan. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. And he starts crying. He's like, stop making fun of my... I love That's My Boy.
All right.
I got it on like HBO or something.
Know,
and it actually was funny the second time
so
I saw
good.
It.
It's so good. Yeah. It settles in.
I think you're blinded by your love of Andy Samberg.
That could be.
Because you love Hot Rod, too.
I love Sandler. I mean, yeah, I like Sandler a lot.
Once you kind of get over it, like how dumb it is, and it's actually pretty funny.
I went in knowing that it was going to be a really dumb Happy Madison movie, and then it fucking hit all the chords right for me.
Have you seen The Cobbler yet?
Yeah.
Maybe I should sign you guys Ridiculous 6.
Ooh.
What? What is that? What?
The new Adam Sandler.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay, yeah, yeah. I've been meaning to watch that for a while, actually. You should do that because I want to see that
one. I don't think Anderson's seen The Cobbler.
I thought it was the sixth one. I thought it was like number six in a.
Ridiculous 5 was pretty disappointing.
With that one guy from Ridiculousness that all the girls like. What's his name? He's a really nice guy.
Rob Dyrdek.
You know what? Also, no. You guys watching Practical Jokers? Some pretty good tats in that.
No.
That was one of the dares, and they all have to get tattoos. One of them has a. Will Smith's kid tattooed on his fucking calf. He had to get it in real life. It's like a forever tattoo now.
Why would you do that?
Such a good show. All right.
Last week you guys gambled on Zoolander 2. At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 39%, and both of you bid 29%.
Yes.
Currently, the week after its release, the Rotten Tomatoes score has gone down to 22%.
Jesus. So it passed by our number.
Yeah, by more than 10. Which means that I get to assign you guys both. So we
don't have to worry about all of us landing on the same number, the movie and Anderson and me.
Yeah.
It's not this week anyways.
Still don't know what to do about
that. If we did the show for another 50 years, ends. Eventually that will happen.
Yeah. We'll just end the show then.
What if it ended abruptly? Then the score is 29.
We just never say it.
And
that'd be no music out.
That'd be very gimmicky.
All right. So have you guys seen frequently asked questions about time travel?
Many times.
Okay.
Yeah, I watch it most weekends.
I don't know what that is.
You said you saw it?
I have not.
Okay, it's streaming.
I watch it most weekends.
It's a movie starring Chris O'Dowd. It's a comedy. I think you both
really
like it.
Oh, nice. Logan.
On HBO Go.
Little discovery over here.
HBO Gizzo.
All right.
HBO Gizzo.
So
I feel good about this one.
What's it called?
Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel.
Will it answer my frequently asked questions about time travel?
And you know what? The two movies that were FlickFest and that opened the show, both a little bit hard to remember the names of. One was Michael Jackson's Journey from Motown to Off the Wall, which I think we both recommend.
The other was Deadpool.
And the other one was Drunk, Stone, Brilliant, Dead. Story of the National Lampoon. Both very informative and well-made documentaries. Despite Spike Lee's involvement in one.
I'm excited to see the other one.
Yeah.
You're right.
All right. This week you're going to be gambling on The Witch.
Oh, sorry. I think
the horror movie.
Not a fan. What is this? What is The Witch? Oh, you've seen The Witch.
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting. It's like other shows ruining gambling.
Seen The Witch. Well, there's like 12 movies that come out each week.
Have you seen all of them?
I see two.
Okay.
I've seen The Witch, but I mean, you know what? I don't know how that really impacts this. Mm-hmm. Any of this. Does it really happen?
I haven't heard of any of the other movies coming out this weekend.
What about Race? Oh, I haven't seen it.
What is Race?
It's a movie about Jesse Owens that comes out this Friday.
Risen.
Have you seen Race?
Ooh, Risen.
It looks like the story of Christ coming back.
Yeah. Ralph Fiennes.
I don't think about it. Wait, have you not seen Race?
Wait, is it Ralph Fiennes?
Joseph Fiennes. It's some Fiennes.
It's one of the Fiennes. Yes, I've seen. Yeah, what coming out this week? What we cover on Cinematics this week is The Witch and Race.
Cut that out, Logan.
So I've seen both of those. I can tell you this though: we do a full review over in Cinematics, but The Witch, not for everybody, but a fucking quality horror movie, which you rarely get to say. A really well-made horror movie.
Well, it does have an. Are we not gambling on that one?
No, I've seen it.
I've
seen
it. 87%. So.
Yeah, I would.
All right, I guess we're going with guessed. Risen.
Risen. Christ.
Do you tell me anything about it? I don't know. Anything.
One of the finds and
the first 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ is told through the eyes of an agnostic Roman centurion charged by Pontius Pilate to investigate
Pontius Pilate. Pontius, the guy I just talked about washing his hands.
Right.
Pontius Pilate. I am talking about him.
To investigate rumors of a risen Jewish Messiah. So it's the investigation of.
Why are we talking so much about it? Why are we giving so much?
You seem
much
like
away?
You have an advantage. You've heard of it.
So, that's my fault? It seems like you do things Anderson, better than me.
That part is not your fault. Your fault is the fact that then we can't gamble on movies
we can
people
totally heard of. Gamble.
You didn't let me finish. You can't gamble on movies people have heard of.
Mm-hmm. I got my my number locked in. Pontius Pilate. Pontius. Played by Ralph Fiennes. Who is also... No, stop it. This is actually a bigger movie than the other two, all right? So stop
it. I literally never heard of it.
Well, that's not my fault that your head is in the fucking sand when it comes to things.
All right, my protest number is 69, because fuck you.
Wow. Mine is, we make a perfect 100 when we put together our numbers.
31?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know anything about it, so.
All right, well, currently, the week before its release, there are no Rotten Tomatoes score.
No one wants
no
to
reviews.
See it. Yeah, I couldn't wait to pass on this one. This is a this is a movie that's just obviously aimed at, Mel Gibson's audience, which is religious, which is Christian. Which is looking for God on the screen and popcorn in their bellies.
Okay.
It's a whole new audience out there, Brad. It's making a lot of money for the Jewish-run studios. It's all very intertwined.
Especially when they have like TV miniseries and then they repackage those as movies and you get double the amount of money.
Does that happen?
It happened with that the Bible. They pulled the story of Christ out of it, made it into a movie.
Okay. All right, well, that was basically a forfeit for me. Thanks to
why are you being such a little passive aggressive bitch about
this? Thanks to Dallas T for the artwork this week. Can I see Dallas's artwork?
Risen's going to be in more screens than The Witch and Race combined.
This is more for Anderson, but I don't think he's going to like it.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
What is that?
Why are you doing that?
I don't like that.
God damn it!
You want to explain it, Anderson?
It's DeAnford. It's their most recent album, and that's in Yolandi, except they put your head on Yolandi's body, which is really upsetting because I love Yolandi and hate you.
No.
I'm kidding, buddy. I love you.
Woo! Thanks to Dallas for the artwork. Thanks to our feature artist this week, Sons of August, The Sanderlings, The Cameo Inn, Smith & Whedon, Shane Bertrand's Squirt. Shane Bertrand's Squirt. Squirt Gun. Oh, Jesus. That makes a lot more sense. Shane Bertrand's Squirt Gun and Inspector Owl. Thanks, you guys, for being our featured artists. If you want your sounds heard by, millions, I should say millions of people, go to AndersonAndBrian.com, and you can get information on the featured artists, get a list of the films discussed, comment on the episodes, check us out, The Film Vault, on both Twitter and Facebook. If you would like to be a part of our listener top five, you can submit your votes over there. And it's a meta future top five idea for us. Next week, Donker. Oscar locks.
Oh, is that what we're doing next week?
Yeah, then the Vaulties.
Sweet.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It really is. I'm very excited about the Vaulties. I've been thinking about them for the last couple months.
Thanks to our sponsors this week, Nuts.com, Texture, Uber Drivers, which are all of you potentially, and Weebly, Weebly.com. Thanks for sponsoring you guys. And anything else?
We do it for Van Gogh.